Hello, I'm George Takei, and mischievous pisser possums are not welcome in these parts. You're listening to Pastor Lindstedt's The Movement Turd.
No, this is not the fucking Hal Turner Show. Nor is this the Peerless Good Manzer Show, Radio Free Nimtardation. We don't have retarded Manzer and Jew Boy and Wigger Faggots like the intern or the Reverend Boa Cocksucker. Nor is this the Finkel City Show. We don't have Judah Brown Manzer from Mentor and Rabbi Finkel City, the Jersey City Stick Killer, going ahead and reading some Wikipedia articles about Hitler and going ahead and practicing paper preterism. Nor is this the Rabbi Elier Show, where you have a Chicago Shepherding Jew Boy, formerly known as Joseph Stalin, cuts November yapping shit. No, this is the Movement Turd, and also known as the Dick Dick Show. And your host is Pastor Martin Luther Dzerzhinsky Lindstedt. And if you want to call in, and if you dare, call in. Hail victory, folks. Greetings, Zogling, Wigger, and Man's Ass Clowns, across the fruit, and Zog Plain, in the open air, coast, nut house, we call Zog Babylon, the third, and the final. But this show, as always, is aimed at the lost and the found sheep of the house of Israel, ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye who did hear Christ's call. Greetings. This is episode number 156 of the Movement Turd. Tonight is the 6th of January, 2013. It's what, Grandy, Uncentral, Unstandard, more or less time of 8:40 p.m. And tonight's show will be called A Lull in the Shitstorm. And folks, I went ahead and looked at what is going on in the bowel movement. Carolyn Yenta restarted her Saturday afternoon podcast, and they were pretty well boring, really nothing much going on. Alex Winder went ahead and not only banned any new Christians from signing up over at his Tard Corral or Colostomy Bag, and he went ahead and set rep points or something like that, so all the Tards over there are happy. And folks, Thursday at Zog Babylon, have a whole new Congress. A whole new Congress got sworn in. Senators and Congress critters. And essentially, they got a deal at the very last minute to essentially stop the fiscal cliff or whatever. And, folks, there's really nothing much going on. I think that pretty well everybody has essentially screwed themselves around over the holidays, and what they're trying to do is they're trying to get back into the new year and figure what they're going to do. That's about it. They're just figuring out what they are going to do for the new year. And essentially you end up hearing Joe Biden talk about bringing in more brown skin people here, although the stupid tard doesn't seem to realize is that what are all these beaners going to produce other than more beaners? You know, what are they going to go ahead and produce here? You have, I guess, the Republicans running around like chickens with their heads cut off, and some of them are going to have to essentially tie a rope at the end of their rope, but not an end of their rope, and just hang on and figure out and say, hey, we still got control of the House of Representatives. But hell, you had old John Bonnier. He couldn't go ahead and get anything, you know, done, really, except the very last minute he managed to get reelected. And what you had within the Republican Congress was just simply some of these people were in overt rebellion against Bonnier. So what you may end up having is some moderate or liberal Republicans, if any, New York or New England Republicans, and a few left coast Republicans. I mean, essentially siding with the Democrats, and for all practical purposes, you may end up having a crack up within the Republican Party. At the same time, you just have nothing but niggers and beaners and whatever in the Democratic Party side. But folks, the niggers are pretty well being displaced by the beaners. So you got to wonder how their coalition is going to go ahead and do. You have some more quiet work done on the secessionist front. I was looking at the news, and you have this big fat frog. You have this big fat frog, Gerard Depardieu, a big old fat frog, and he went to Russia, where they have a top income tax rate of 13%, and he is fleeing, you know, Frogland. He's fleeing France, to where essentially anything over $1 million is taxed at 75%. And Russ went ahead and sent me an email to where essentially the Europeans don't even bother paying quote income taxes here. And folks, that's just pretty well what it is that essentially rich Jews don't pay taxes, rich wiggers don't pay taxes, niggers and beaners and poor wiggers don't pay taxes. I mean, essentially on this New Year, all you have are essentially, well, from what I gather, Obongo forswore about $4 trillion in tax increases in order to get $1 trillion in tax increases, and they're not having any spending cuts other than supposedly somehow $600 billion sort of to where it's not really a tax cut, it's just not an increase in spending. So what you had, I think this last year, is you had a $1.5 trillion deficit, and they're talking about cutting $20 or $30 billion in order to go ahead and get over the fiscal cliff, which is about what, 2 or 3% or less of the total deficit. You know, it didn't really matter. Didn't really matter at all. So essentially, I think what's happening is that everybody has pretty well shot their wad, and now they're sort of relaxing, waiting for the future. So there's nothing much going on here. It's just a, I don't know what the beaners are going to produce here. They're going to go ahead and consume essentially public schools and the rest here, and you'll have liberal wiggers like cousin Randy Turner essentially looking forward to edumacating those beaners here, but insisting you can't insist that they pass tests or something like that. I mean, essentially the public school system is all about measuring idiocy. It's not about just simply for what, 2 or 3 years, teaching the people who have not learned at home how to read and write and do basic arithmetic. It's all about indoctrination. It's all about teaching wigger kids, you know, young white kids to come in to be wiggers when they come out. But, folks, there's not much cause or use or anything for that here. I was talking to a friend of mine, and essentially, you know, he was talking about innocent wiggers, and I point out is that, you know, shit, there's no such thing as innocence, there's only sides. And if you have, quote, innocent Whiggers, why, they need to pick a side. And if they pick the wrong side, they need to be destroyed here. No big deal. I was listening to New Year's Eve night's show on my headphones tonight, and here's Mongoloid, and essentially on the night of December 31st, he's whining like a pussy, and then I hear him yesterday night, and he's back to just being a Whigger, going ass to mouth with this Jew, Peterless Goodmanser, Peter Goodman, a.k.a. the News Kike, a.k.a. News Guy 2005. And, folks, it's just nothing but Whiggers and beers and Jews. And you end up having four Jews. The Reverend Boa Cocksucker, you had Mongoloid going ahead and whining like a pussy. You had, the intern, this epileptic, retarded, Jew boy. You had Schwartz, another Jew boy who claims he's blonde and blue-eyed and whiter than me, but he's not going to go ahead and show his real picture. It's the same thing as Obagender Benderpools. I mean, the critter claims to be white and claims that I'm not white, but he won't show his picture. So I guess you're supposed to believe these lying Jew boys and mamzers on the basis of what they tell us. So no, there's nothing much going on either in the movement. Pretty well everyone shot their wad, and now they're recovering. They're recovering. And same way in the Zogland. I guess Thursday they got sworn in, a new Congress got sworn in, and essentially, what, Thursday, Friday? Well, they managed to kick the can down the road here for a couple months, at least. And, hey, they'll do the same thing that they did in 2010. Or 2011, I think. Yeah, 2011. They went ahead and set to where it's going to be too painful for us not to do something. And then when the time came, well, they just kicked the can down the road a little bit further. Now, does anybody think that, anybody's going to go ahead and understand that you cannot spend more than what you take in for taxes? And why in the world should anybody pay taxes? I mean, I'm white, and I'm not allowed to run for, federal or state, or now even local office. And you're not allowed, if you're white, or even if you're not white, to vote for me. So essentially, we do not have a representative form of government. Essentially, we just have a form of government which pretends to be a representative constitutional government when it's not. Essentially, all it is just a bunch of Jews here with some thieving family of Whiggers like the Bushes and like the Clintons and like the Blunts here in Missouri. They're just simply going through the motions of running the government. They're not. And you have the pigs. They're just going ahead and, putting people in jail. They're, arresting people. They're going after white guys here. You're talking about having a whole bunch of gun laws coming up. Essentially, you have the Whiggers, why they're buying all these guns, but they're still leaving paper for it. So, that's what you have in the Zogland. You just have Whiggers running around, and then Whiggers run by Jews, telling them what to do. But nobody wants to go ahead and actually pay for stuff here. You have, frogs like Gerard Depardieu running to Russia, getting a passport, visiting Vladimir Putin. And Vladimir Putin, he don't really give a crap here. If a bunch of rich frogs want to go to Russia and give them 13%, 13% of their income that they didn't used to get. I mean, old Gerard bought a mansion in Belgium in order to get away from frog taxes. I mean, essentially, old Gerard will probably take his money or his French francs or whatever he can, his dollars, and essentially just say, screw it, I'm fat and old, and essentially there's not any big major role for me to play, and hell, I can maybe go ahead and do a movie in Russia or something here. He did a movie in Russia about Rasputin about a year or so ago. So, folks, what you have is that you have richer Whiggers running to other countries where they will take, you know, a smaller slice of their money, and you have Jews running around trying to grab whatever the hell they can and hopefully looking for a place where they can run into, but I think the whole entire world is sort of alert to Jews. Last night on the Jewskike show, they were essentially talking about the difference between one state solution and two state solution. And essentially, some of the, you know, some of the more vicious kikes say a one state solution, that the Arabs have to be under the Jews. And you had Newskike going ahead and essentially talking about how it'd look better here if you went ahead and gave the Arabs some of the desert lands here that the Jews haven't already took here and pretend that they have a moral democracy here as opposed to just a Jew-run state. A Jew-run crusader state. So anyway, what we have is that we had some forward motion in order to go ahead and get us over the line in 2013. And essentially for the last, 3-4 days, we've just had everybody, I shot my wad. And they're just waiting. They're just waiting to, I guess, not exactly hit the ground running, but to sort of crawl to their feet here and sort of shamble to whatever the year 2013 holds for them. And folks, I don't think it holds for them anything good. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and hopefully, Trash Can Man, he's taking a shower. He might call in after, 45 minutes or so, or, half hour. I'm going to go ahead and wait for old Russ to give me a call. I'm not sure if I'm going to have Logan on tonight or not. So there's not really much to say here, and I may just do I'll try to go ahead and give you 2 hours of entertainment, so to speak, here. But that might be it here. I'm going to go ahead and wait for Russ to call in. And we will be back in 2 or 3 minutes here, folks. Hail victory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro, stupid ways you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating crop. I wake up and right away, stupid wiggers come to mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Stupid wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The way they run to and fro. And they're always eating slop. Wiggers keep remembering how good God used to be. Being taught long stone our freedom's memory. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Wiggers always on my mind. The way they run to and fro. Cause the wiggers you'll never find. Yes, I admit we got a wigger problem. Build a drop up to the top. The away they run to and fro. And they're always easy to drop. The way they run to and fro. And they're always easy to drop. Okay, folks, I was looking at the links here. Let's see, Zogbuster posted about how Planned Parenthood is now promoting BDSM here. Bondage, discipline, and sadomasochism. And I guess, I mean, you gotta go ahead and, you know, in our public schools, you gotta go ahead and laugh to where, why in the world would that be anything other than an excuse or more of a reason for homeschooling? What did you say, dear? Why would that be any, you know, I mean, folks, how many really want, even your wiggers, to learn to not obey mom and daddy, that mom and daddy are a bunch of idiots, that they're a bunch of dopes here, and to, you know, have a nigger or beaner boy or girlfriend here. Now they're teaching them here is that running around and doing something in the name of sex here is wonderful when essentially daddy and mommy, well, paddling, their, you know, spanking their children is bad, bad, bad. You know, even though there's no sexual interest at all in it. I mean, you got to go ahead and laugh at some of these idiots to where essentially what they're doing is that they're using the pigs to do a bunch of stuff which is not only bad but is overtly evil. How are they going to go ahead and you know, do they think they're actually going to encourage white people to go ahead and bring their children into these indoctrination centers to learn this stupid shit? Now, the problem, though, is that this is what I keep on telling people. It's not so much a war against niggers. It's not so much a war against beaners. It's not even so much a war against Jews. It's a war against wiggers. It's a war against wiggers who have essentially chosen by default evil. And I was listening to Mongoloid. Mongoloid is a witless wigger. He was essentially licking news guys' ass and whining about me last night here. And I was listening to him on December 31st and the 1st of January when I did my New Year's show. And Mongoloid don't have a brain in his head. Doesn't seem to have any morals, doesn't seem to have any moral character, doesn't seem to have anything. I mean, he goes ahead and licks the very Jew boy who calls him a pedophile, and then he gets all whining. I don't know what's up with Pastor Lucid, why he calls me a worthless wigger. Well, it's because you are a worthless wigger. You don't have any character. You don't even have a bad character. You're weak and you're stupid and you're idiotic and essentially you're just a soft, fat, stupid wigger. And then you get annoyed why I get annoyed at you. Of course I get annoyed at you. I mean, would the world be a better place with you gone or really change much? And the answer, not as it currently exists. No. That's what you end up having. Now, you cannot, you know, I mean, Newskike. Newskike went ahead and convinced me quite adequately last night to not call in. And essentially, Newskike went yapping by himself for about an hour and a half, and then he had Mongoloid on. Then he had what? You know, he had, he had four Jews on, I think, here. He had the Reverend Boa Cocksucker / Farty. And from my gather, I guess this Farty was actually, I think, put to prison for child molestation or something here. I mean, that's the impression I get here. is that old Artie was in prison or something. And then you have this epileptic, retarded Jew boy, the intern, doesn't have enough sense, but he sort of snitches out, you know, Peerless Good Mamzer by, you know, telling him about how he visited him in upper New York City, you know, took a train, you know, visit to go see him. That wasn't very smart, but, you know, these critters do that sort of thing. And then you end up having, you know, Paul Dembski, and Dembski called in and was talking about how he couldn't be a Jew because he was adopting a Vietnamese potbelly pig. So I made a joke about what do you call a Swede walking his pet pig? What do you call a Swede walking his pet pig? Well, you call him the same thing as you call a Korean walking his dog here. You call him a vegetarian. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, the other Jew boys were sort of, you know, laughing at Paul Dembski for saying, well, hey, I guess you're not going to be able to knock your pet Vietnamese potbelly pig over the head and have him for, you know, have some bacon here, something like that. You know, I don't know. You know, I guess there's people who keep pigs in the house here, but usually the Lindstedts and the Samuelsons and the Svensons and the Svensons and the Smiths. The only houses that, you know, our pigs got was, well, essentially sort of it's sort of like a dog house here to keep them out of the rain. But most of the pigs here, why heck, they just stayed out in the you know, well, you keep them inside during the winter here. The sows you're going to, you know, keep here so that they'll, you know, have a litter in come spring here and then later on in the fall or something like that. So, essentially you go ahead and you do that. And so they have what? Oh, pretty well the summer and the fall to essentially fatten up here, and then about 6 months or so, they get knocked in the head around, what, the second week, you know, second weekend in November here. And that's pretty well the way I remember it. As a small child, seeing my mom swap the hogs that we were going to go ahead and eat, for the, you know, over the winter and whatever here. And, my grandma Lindstedt would go ahead and they'd render down the hog, you know, hog fat for lard here. And, in any case, I don't think Paul Dembski has the necessary skills to, dispose of this, pet, if the pet gets big and fat and, you know, sort of, you know, non-delicious to him here. But anyway, huh? Okay, here. Anyway, well, that's nice here. I'm glad you had some decency and not call it Roxy, but, all these Nimbusters, they write a bunch of shit about Roxy. And I guess they act as if it means something to Roxy here. I mean, she doesn't get on the computer. So how is she going to go ahead and see the stupid shit? And to be honest with you, I only get on the computer every so often. Well, I only go to Nimbuster. I go to the computer every day, but I don't use... About every so often, I go ahead and look, you know, go over to Nimbusters and look here and see what the hell's coming down here. But, Not usually. Okay. Alrighty here. Well, that's a problem. You know, that's a problem with, I guess, shoe phone here, unless you're going to go ahead and call in. So, in any case here, I don't know. I've heard some people like Frank Winger, they like Talk Shoe Pro. And I've never dicked with it, to be honest with you. I really haven't here. You know what I mean? So, you know, drugs first time, guns the second time here. Was that right here? I have no idea what that worthless bastard Artie was in prison for here. I mean, this is just what the Nimbusters supposedly said here. So, drugs the first time, guns the second time here. Okay, well, no big deal here. Okay, here, I searched, I found this here, Martin Winstead here. Well, let's go ahead, let me go ahead and click that here. If Russ is not going to save me, I'm going to go ahead and look here. Martin Winstead. Well, see, you can see I got blue eyes. You know what I mean? My Martin Lindbein has arrived. Well, that's an old one here. You know what I mean? Brother, 10,000 Winstead project here. Probably make the carriage for dinner Tuesday. That's for Pastor 30 years. Well, that's news to me here. Hi, Pastor. You say, eat more than good. Tuesdays. Citation needed. Okay, here. Well, here. Well, let's see here. Well, yes, some tard who, Visicop, Mams Against Time. Visicop is some sort of northern, you know, red nigger Mamser here. Also known as BSR. Man Against Time is some Hungarian Magyar Jew lawyer. And I don't know what this about, you know, other character here. So, anyway, it don't really matter. Any case here. Old Mr. Bill here, or Pastor Mr. Bill here, old Mumpsnut. Mumpsnut has sort of disappeared in many cases here. So, let's see here. You know, I'm looking at that here. Alrighty here. What'd you do with the money you won, Martin? I have not got the money yet, Sasquatch. It's going to take a while till they cut a check here. But for those of you who don't know what he's talking about, hold on. I need to plug in Roxy's cell phone here. Okay, for those who don't know what he talked about, is that, when was it? I think it was, Thursday night, you know, it was a difference in 3 degrees, so they drew my name, and this time instead of winning a hamburger, french fries, a fried quail egg, I won $160 from the KODE TV ABC affiliate. And since I won $160 here, but it's going to go ahead and take, they said, 4 to 6 weeks for me to get it. But, hey, that's good to go. I mean, hey, can we get a curse on Obongo here? Well, yeah, well, there's a, you know, you can go ahead and curse Obongo. I sort of think Obongo is pretty well dead meat here. I don't think there's going to be an election in 2016. I really don't. I think we're going to go ahead and hit the, well, not only the financial cliff here, we're going to go ahead and go over it for sure this time. Now, this fiscal cliff that they were talking about essentially was raising taxes on wiggers. But the problem is that the tax base is pretty well destroyed. Most of your rich Jews don't pay any taxes. Your billionaire hedge funds. Folks, I was looking at AIG. They were advertising about how they paid off what they paid off, you know, supposedly all that they owed on TARP here. Now, I'm not sure if that's true or not, but hey, how'd they pay it off? Well, they paid it off by simply stealing some more money and have being bailed out some more. You know, I doubt AIG was rescued or anything like that, but folks, None of this crap which occurred, over 4 years ago, has been solved. In fact, it's been made worse. Someone went ahead and pointed out that if you went ahead and paid up the nigger and wigger and beaner, less picker mortgages, you'd at least have something to show for it. You'd have a mortgage that you could go against and have Uncle Sam pay for it. But no, they didn't. They didn't bail out any taxpayers. They didn't bail out any white families. Instead, what they did is that they essentially just bailed out and put all these gambling debts from Wall Street by the Jews onto the U.S. Treasury. And what they're saying is that crooked piece of shit, Timothy Geithner, who didn't pay taxes himself, and he's head of the IRS, didn't pay taxes himself, he didn't go to jail. You had John Corzoni, who essentially stole the accounts of $2.5 billion from farmers and ranchers, mainly. Hey, he's not in prison. Why isn't he in prison? Why isn't he doing him and his family in prison next to Bernie Madoff? Why not? And the answer is shoot, the people who are connected get to do whatever the hell they want to. And then we pretend we have rule of law. We pretend that we have fairness, that we have a representative government, and we don't. So, okay, well, you have these people. You have these people that are trying to, you have these characters that, they do whatever the hell they want to, and then they pretend it's legal. Folks, it don't matter what the hell these people say is legal. When you end up having a civil war to settle this matter, essentially those who are in power now will be traitors then. And you do whatever the hell you want to them and their families. Someone went ahead and said, well, isn't it wrong to put to death the children of police and judges and lawyers? And the answer is, I don't think it is. What happens if you are a Uyghur and you pull the mongoloid and you sided with, I don't think we ought to go ahead and kill the children of Ahab. I don't think we need to cut off their sons' heads and then ship their body, ship their heads and pile them up in a big old pile right in front. Right in front of the town gate, and then send their body over to where Naboth used to have his vineyard and open up a dog feeding station. I don't think that's right. So what do you think King Jehu would have done to any Uyghur who showed that he supported the ancient regime? Don't you think that Uyghur, for daring to bury or at least say a good thing about Ahab and Jezebel, don't you think that not only would that Uyghur have his carcass fed to the dogs or the birds, depending on where the creature was executed, but not his entire family as well? And the answer is sure it would be. Now, how awful you are in saying that. Well, the answer is that, unlike everyone else in this bowel movement, I seem to understand is that you can't do away with evil unless you exterminate evildoers. And by that, I mean Uyghurs who side with evil. There comes a time to put an end to all this sort of thing altogether. And folks, if you're a Uyghur that sides with evil, do you think you can keep 12 million Uyghurs from essentially going with the rest of the herd and choosing evil? And the answer is, of course you can't. Do you think you can go ahead and put them in prison? Let's say you have 12 Uyghurs, and they want to go ahead and bring in 17 Muds and Beaners, and essentially, because they have a problem with living with what little riches that they had from a previous age, but they want to go ahead and essentially give the Social Security check that you need to take care of your aged mother or aged father. They want to go ahead and give it to Beaners. and they want to go ahead and bring more beaner babies into this country. And essentially, they want to go ahead and feel good about themselves and do evil to you. So how are you going to go ahead and prevent them from doing it? Well, I know the old-fashioned way of preventing evil. You just simply exterminate evildoers. I don't have any use for people who say, you can't do, you know, I know that they destroyed your family. I know that they deliberately put aside rule of law in order to have you murdered in prison, and when they couldn't get it, they sent you a nut house and doped you up. I know that, but you can't go against their children. And the answer I got is, why not? See, it's not no longer a matter of rule of law, it's a matter of power. And if you're going to go ahead and seek power, you need to go ahead and seek to restore good. But you cannot restore good as long as evil and evildoers and those who abide evil live. You can't have a nation of what, 10% good white people and 90% evil weak Quakers. And then what? You know, of that, 40% of that is, well, essentially Quakers. And then you end up having what? 60% muds and getting darker every day and expect to have a white civilization. You can't do that. You see, a great tribulation, a great collapse. I mean, folks, this is not something that is really biblical. I mean, when you see, I mean, how many of the mighty empires of what? 5,000 years ago. You know, Egypt. Or Mesopotamia. Does Ur of the Chaldees still exist? Does Assyria still exist? Does the Empire of the Persians still exist? Or the Macedonians? Or the Romans? And the answer is no. Don't exist at all. In this globe, you have perhaps, supposedly, about 700,000 Uyghurs. Now, of that 700,000 Uyghurs, you have quite a few who are miscegenated. But you have, what, 1 in 10 of the population being white, and probably less than half of them are actually pure white left here. So you have about maybe, a couple hundred million pure-blooded Uyghurs. What, maybe 3% of the population? And of that, how many do you have who are able to bear children, bear pure white children? Less than 1%? And do you think we're going to go ahead and get heaven on earth from here? Well, the answer is that yes, it is going to happen. It just has to go through the Great Tribulation first. It has to go through essentially, what, 99.9% of the population dying off, and then Jesus Christ coming back to save the remnant. Now, I mean, I think I'm the only one who I can go ahead and see, other than a few people I can get to agree with me, like Logan and Russ, who essentially look at what is coming without any flinching and without saying, that's awful, that's awful, that's awful. Well, folks, Christ said it in the Gospels. And what does the Gospels mean? It means good news. So is it good news when essentially the world as it exists now will be destroyed? And Christ said it was good news. And I think it's good news. Okay? Yeah, that was Carolyn Yeager thing here. I mean, how big of a hoax was the Sandy Hook massacre? It probably was a big hoax. But then again, Let's have you believe the official story. You have screwed up little Jew boys who go ahead and shoot the mud shark mothers. And essentially now, you know, now since gun laws work so good in Connecticut, well, we need to go ahead and apply them in Missouri. But if you believe, I guess like Carolyn Yeager did, as I went ahead and looked at that, you know, I do scour, you know, what's going on in the bowel movement. If you believe that essentially a screwed up little Jew boy, you know, like Carol Covington was saying, is that he got a little MK Ultra phone call and told he had, you know, he had miles to go before he rested his miscegenated head. Well, hey. And essentially, like the Aurora, Colorado, like Logan believes, that essentially you end up having the pigs actually shooting, go ahead and doing the killing, and then blaming it on a screwed up little Jew boy. If you want to go ahead and say is that the Mossad did it, well, that's fine by me. The question I have is, does it really matter what you believe? Does it really matter what you believe? Now, if you're not among us here, I don't think it matters at all. It doesn't really matter to me. But, folks, let's go ahead and understand is that, you know, I mean, when I heard about what was going on, when was it? What, a month ago or so? Maybe not quite a month ago, 4 weeks ago. I forget which. I think it was, what, on the 21st of December, so it was about, what, 3-4 weeks ago? Well, folks, I knew there weren't any white deep woods dual feed line Christian identity going to what? Newtown, Connecticut elementary school heading children there. And I did see a few beautiful little white children gunned down. I seen a Jew boy or two. See a bunch of niglets. And folks, if you are part of Zog Babylon, you will, of course, die with Zog Babylon. That's why, you know, the purpose of the show is to convince you to, in many cases, stay away from the movement. Now, about the only exception I make about that is, well, Harold Covington, to where if you're living in a shithole and you're young, well, and you need somebody to sort of keep an eye on you, well, hey, you will do worse than have some sort of structured reason to live for more than yourself by essentially heading on up to the Northwest. Now, I listened to his latest one here. Now, if I was young or something like that, I'd probably not head to the big cities. I guess I'm not really a big city person here. But in any case, I'm sort of neutral, or I'm positively neutral. You know, mild positive for El Covington's Northwest Frontier. The rest of these characters, they talk big shit. And essentially, they begin to talk about secession. But they're acting like they're going to get it for free. As if Zog Babylon is going to let our people go. Especially the younger ones who are still able to produce what little needs to be gobbled up by niggers and beaners. Okay? So, was Carolyn supposed to watch Pearson? I don't know here. Carolyn Yeager here. Carolyn Yeager, she went ahead and she announced she wasn't going to do any more shows. And she did. Her first one of the year was the 5th of January. From what I gather, there were a lot of people who were standing her up. They figured out she was not for real. She has a Sicilian Guido, who has a Jew wife, and a lot of people think he's a Jew himself, pretty well worked on it. She has Hattie the Meerkat. And folks, You have a critter like Hatting. Essentially, Hatting is, you know, got the reputation for being a lying little, you know, mattoid, loveless mattoid meerkat and a Kevin Alfred Strom fluffer. I mean, shoot. Kevin Alfred Strom is innocent, but Edgar Steele is guilty. And so as a result, you know, people don't want to go ahead and reward that sort of thing. So Carolyn Yeager has lost a lot of, you know, a lot of support, a lot of interest here. Now, she was on Finkelschemes. She was on Voice of Retards, and she tried to cover her up and censor, you know, to go ahead and protect Finkelschemes. And I remember that as well. So, no, Carolyn Yeager is dishonest as far as I'm concerned. Carolyn Yeager is essentially a Zogba twat as far as I'm concerned. I don't have much use for Carolyn Yeager. Occasionally, though, I do listen to her shows. I didn't listen to the Saturday afternoon with Carolyn Yeager because most of the time you either have a meerkat or you have just simply Carolyn Yeager by herself giving her speculation. Now, I don't expect her to listen to my show, and likewise, I don't really listen to her show too much, okay? Okay. Oh, did she Remo Pearson hard? Well, folks, you know, I was having a discussion on the last show here with old Pearson. And essentially, Pearson was claiming, I don't know why you don't like Paul Fromm. And I pointed out is that Paul Fromm doesn't have any bitches about, he bitches about censorship in Canada. And he went on this show the very same Sunday later on. December 28th, I got booted off of iWeb Canada, 12:30 a.m. Sunday, December 28th, and later that day, here he goes on Brian Rio, and, you know, Finkelschemes, of course, is going ass to mouth with him. They're doing the Hitler worship hour here, and they're back to doing it now on Finkelschemes' Saturday night shows. And, folks, they were laughing and gloating and finding it all so funny that Brian Rio had managed to censor me in Canada. And they quoted Paul Fromm as saying the censorship was okay. And I chewed on Paul Fromm's ass. I said, look, Paul Fromm, you're a liar. You're phony. You're a hypocrite. I mean, I don't have any use for you. And here's Pearson. Oh, I don't see why you think that. I said, well, shit. Go ahead and look at that. And then he was going to notify Eli James and Fink and Brian Rio. And I said, don't do that. We essentially got to where Brian Rio has essentially no reason to make an actual DMCA complaint. Essentially, he's been rebuffed for essentially trying to claim he's making a DMCA complaint but whining about slander to where essentially he's not listened to anymore. But folks, I don't really want to stir up the little, nigger-lipped mamzer. I mean, Brian Rio is useful to me and to the movement. He's useful, you know, just like Trader Glenn Miller is. If you see Alex Linder going ass to mouth with Trader Glenn Miller, you assume, you know, I mean, the old resistance has essentially refused to have anything to do with Alex Linder since April 2004 and came to a head at the Christmas coup of 2004. But ever since then, why, hey, Linder has what Linder has. Same way with Carolyn Yeager. I mean, essentially, Brian Rio poisoned Eli James' ability to claim that he has been censored because, you know, Eli James and Brian Rio worked together to take down, well, my webpage, because I got that on tape here. Essentially, Eli James has a whole bunch of mamzers. But the same with same way to think here. Here he is with Brian Reel, and Brian Reel is talking about you can't allow anybody who has even a small percent of non-white blood in there. Well, guess what? Brian Reel is minority white. The critter got a bunch of gook in him, a bunch of nigger in him, I think a bunch of Jew in him. And Visser. I mean, Visser is useful here because those who hang around Visser, those who hang around Brian Wright, those who hang around Eli James, those who hang around William Fink, I mean, I know I'm dealing with a Mamzer. I know I'm dealing with a Jew. And so as a result, you have essentially explained who or what you are. And so once I know who or what you are, I don't have to worry about you. I just go ahead and expect nothing but bad from you. There's no need to worry about creatures like Carolyn Jaeger too much, although this show does concern itself somewhat with them. But we tell what Carolyn Jaeger is doing occasionally. But to me, it seems like she went ahead and just continued her shows because the last one that she did, she couldn't get this guy to come on to her show. He stood her up. And she's been worried about being stood up since Linder. Okay? So, okay. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and, I'm going to go ahead and take a break here. And, Gerald Jaeger, I mean, no one's Pearson's handler. I mean, sometimes I think, heck, I'm going ahead and look. I mean, I'm not sure Pearson is white here. But I did tell Pearson, under no circumstance, contact. If you want to go ahead and talk to Paul Flom about something that happened 2 years ago, which he was not remorseful at the time, and probably isn't remorseful today. If you want to mess with it, that's fine. But under no circumstances are you to talk to Eli James or Finkelschini or Brian Reel about what happened 2 years ago. Don't mess with it. Do not dick with it. And if I hear tell that you are dicking with it here, I mean, essentially, you're just banned for life as far as I'm concerned here. I'll tolerate you stupid shit. But essentially, if I tell you right now not to say a dang word to Brian Reel or the rest here about it, you better listen to what I say. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and take another break, and we will be back in probably a couple few minutes, folks. Hail victory.
About the time my daddy left to fight the big war, I saw my first pistol in the general store, in the general store. Well, I was 13. I thought it was the finest thing I ever had seen. So I asked if I could have one someday when I grew up. Mama dropped a dozen eggs. She really blew up. Yes, she really blew up. She didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. Captain Ball's coat. Shoot as fast as lightning, but it moves a mile slow. It moves a mile slow. And soon I found out it'll get you into trouble, but it can't get you by. About a year later, got a Colt 45. Called a peacemaker, but I never knew why. I never knew why. I didn't understand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand, the devil's right hand. Mama said the pistol is the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. Cumberland town. Thought I might have cheated, so I shot the dog down. Shot the dog down. Watched the man fall. Never touched his horse and never had a chance to go. Drive up in the morning and they brought me out of bed. Asked me how I made it. Not guilty, I said. Not guilty, I said. You got the wrong man. Left him just a trigger, but the devil's right hand. The devil's right hand. The devil's right hand.
Hello.
Yeah, it's Trash Can Man.
How you doing, Trash?
Okay.
Well, we were going ahead discussing this character named Pearson here. Trash Can Man lives in Eastern Tennessee, and he's been a listener to the show for a while here, and essentially he's one of the few people that has some degree of self-knowledge within the movement or something like that here. Well, I was glad you could go ahead and call in tonight here. You done with your shower, whatever?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking, you know, someone was asking about Douglas Pearson here, and I don't know, he sent me his picture here, and he got rather dark eyes, and he looks like he got something in his genetic woodpile. And Hattie went ahead, and, you know, Hattie seen, you know, this Pearson character. I mean, I can relate to Carolyn Yeager getting sort of annoyed at him because he does everything you tell him not to do, and then he pretends like he blundered into it. You got to wonder if he is, you know, either a tard or he's an actual Zogbot or something like that. And, he got in touch with me last August here, and I'm living in Canada, and I want to move to the Great Northwest here, and could you go ahead and see how to get me a job? And I said, well, why don't you go ahead and talk to Craig Cobb or Corn Cobb in North Dakota and see if you can't get a job at Edmonton, where they have all these tar sands, see if you can't get one on the North Dakota side here. And I said, go ahead and log in using a fake name on VNNF and try to use a Tor browser or a proxy or something like that, and see if you can't get old Corn Cob to take you under his wing. You know, do not mention anything. Do not mention Christian Identity. Do not mention Harold Covington. Do not, you know, because essentially Corn Cob and April Gady doesn't like Harold Covington. Corn Cob does not like Christian Identity, thanks to Carl Garst here, and thanks to, well, me to a lesser extent, because I've ridiculed the crap out of April Gady. And so essentially, if you want to get anything good with Corn Cob, do not, whatever you do, do not mention Harold Covington, do not mention my name, do not mention Chris Sandanti. And what does he do? He gets on to VNNF using his real name, not using a proxy. He talks about Harold Covington, and he gets his ass booted. And then for somebody who don't have any money, somehow he got the money to go to the Spurfront conference, I think in September, to see David Duck and Don Black and Wiggerswell Williams and Hattie the Meerkat. And what happens is that, you know, Hattie sees him and calls him a dirty Jew or a swarthy Jew or something like that here, and he just freaks him out here. And I'm wondering, where did you get the money? You know, here you are, too poor to somehow make your way to North Dakota. You know, you don't have a job, but somehow you're able to do, you know, go ahead and take a flight, you know, somehow to what? Eastern Tennessee, and get into the Spurfront conference. You didn't do a damn thing I told you to do, so I don't know. I've seen his picture, and I can see where old Hattie thinks he might be a swarthy something or another. You know what I mean? So I don't know. He doesn't listen to anything I say. He does in many cases, the exact opposite. And essentially, I'm pretty well. I think Andy's had enough of Pearson, and I guess he's gone through Carolyn Yeager's trust or something like that, because a lot of people think is that nobody can be that fucking stupid. You know what I mean? But on the other hand, I've seen some real tards in the movement, too. So anyway, we'll talk about that. Anyway, how are you doing?
Okay.
Okay. I'm glad to see you're doing okay. I haven't had time to work on your webpage, which is essentially a repeat of Angel Fire. I sent you a number of messages. I think that what you need to do is to go ahead and put, if you want your web page to be looked at, you need to go ahead and put it in the signature line. You have an account on my forum. You're not one of my sock puppets. You are an actual person who posts as TrashCanMan72, correct?
Yeah.
Does 72 mean you were born in 1972?
Yeah.
So you're 40 years old then.
1972. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You're 40-some years old then. Okay, well, when you go ahead and reach 40 here, why, I guess you sit back with surprise because you never thought you'd live that long, don't you?
Yeah.
I've been 40. Hell, I've been 50. The other day, a week and a half or so ago, 2 weeks ago, I reached, I reached the age of 55 here. So, I mean, I always thought, but I had some dark days here. I had some dark days here for, 3.5 years to where, I don't know if they're going to go ahead and manage to go ahead and railroad me. And, as a result, I don't have too much use for Zoglings or Whiggers or any of these other clowns here. So, anyway, but yeah, you reach 40, you reach a big zero, number zero, decade in your life here, and then you sort of look back and, did I really live this long? You know what I mean? That really exists to live this long. And I guess you do it, for, 30, of course you're going to reach 30, but, you go ahead and look at yourself at 40 and you wonder, was I really going to live this long? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've had two decades here to go ahead and look at that. So, 30th birthday is a sort of, interesting time too. You get to where you take stock of your life and then realize, how much more life do I have and what do I wish to accomplish with it? I don't want to impute to you thoughts that I've had, have you ever thought something like that?
Yeah.
Okay, you're one heck of an interviewee here, But yes and no are perfectly acceptable answers here. What I'm thinking is that maybe I can get Logan to get in touch with you because he lives in Nashville. He lives closer than I do, and in any case, do you still sing on your guitar or anything like that, or?
Well, I hadn't really messed with the guitar in a number of years. I mostly just sang a cappella these days.
Okay, well, have you thought of getting back into it then?
Well, I guess I've given it some thought from time to time, but I just, too much other stuff I want to do, I guess.
Well, I seen on the Best Buy, I don't know if you have a Best Buy in your local area, but I seen an MP3 player with 4 gigabytes. It has a little screen, and it's not a SanDisk, but it's some other thing here, and it's advertised on Best Buy for $17.98. It's got a 4 gigabyte capacity. And from my gather, it actually has some video capacity. If you have $20, you might want to, if you're somewhat close to a Best Buy, you might want to go to Best Buy and buy one of those. So let me see what the heck the name of it is here. It's on what? Oh, let me click to it here. Nope, that's not the way here. I seem to have lost it here. Let me see. I clicked the wrong one. Okay, it's an Eclipse. Mach Speed Eclipse 180 G2 Series 4 gigabyte video MP3 player. And from what I gather, it has a MP3 recorder in it. So what you could do is that essentially you can, just like I'm using an MP3 player, I'm recording my voice here. So if you have a chance here, if you have $20, why, you might go and buy you an Eclipse MP3 player recorder at Best Buy. Do you have a Best Buy around where you live?
There might be one in Knoxville. I know there's not one in Oak Ridge.
Okay. You very far from Knoxville?
Good hours drive.
Oh, boy. Well, alrighty. I don't know if you can order one via their store, or you have to go to their, you have to go to their store, or you have to go someplace else to buy one here. But heck, I went to Best Buy and I bought one. They didn't have anything in stock. I bought me a little hard drive for $50, and they went ahead and ordered it for me. I paid for it in advance here. So I don't know, if you get a chance and you have $20, why, you might want to, it has a USB port, and I don't know if your old computer has a USB slot or something like that. I mean, pretty well most of them have a USB at least 1.0 slot in them here. So in any case, from what I gather, you might want to, you might want to essentially go back to your guitar work or a number of other things. You've also written quite a few essays here. Maybe you can post more of them on the forum. I create a sub-forum for you where you're the moderator, and you might want to go ahead and post some of your poetry or some of your observations here. I have looked at them. Sometimes I've reformatted them to make them a little bit easier to read. So, that might be something to think about, okay?
Yeah, I've added some of my material from the website to it. I guess that last Thursday, Thursday before that, on the 27th, and posting, a little bit of stuff. I'm trying to post some more to it next week.
Okay, well, I think you posted what you had on your webpage. And to be honest with you, for some reason, I'm getting, in Covington, and I think Countercurrents, you have more people, they're thinking of secession, they're thinking of a number of things, and what they're doing is they're heading to places like Stormfront or VNNF here, or My Forum, or Hunter Wallace's, Hunter has sort of closed down his forum here, and I don't know. He's going to act like a tard, and I mean, he's going to take 3-4 months before he reopens it or whatever. But I had about 400 unique visitors a day, a little bit over 400 unique visitors a day. 4,000 unique visitors a month in January 2012. And in December, I reached over 8,000 unique visitors, more like 8,200. So I pretty well doubled people actually listening. And I think I've gone ahead and looked at Countercurrents, and they've done the same thing. Carol Covington says that the people who are going to his blog and his, well, not so much forum here, his blog, have doubled as well. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And as a result, you'll probably get far more people going and looking at your posts as part of my forum that you would as a standalone web page. But if you want people going to your web page, you can go ahead and put the index to it, either on Angel Fire or the one I put on mamsers.org for you by going ahead and putting in your signature line. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay? Anyway, I've pretty well run out of my interview techniques. I'm not a very good interviewer. Let's see. Is there anything at length you wanted to talk about?
I wanted to get with you on the question of maybe doing like an all music movement tour here sometime fairly soon. Talked about it a little bit before.
Okay. Well, New Year's Eve, I had quite a few more music onto it. I pretty well sang duet with what I'd already sang here. The thing is that there's quite a bit of music here But generally, you know, generally popular music is not so much, you know, used here. I mean, there's a few popular songs here, but a lot of the time I just go ahead and listen to what Harold Covington plays. And then what I do is if I really like it, I'll go ahead and play what he has to say here. The two favorites I got from Harold Covington was the Florian Geyer lead, which I went ahead and changed here, and this other one by Kathy Barton. You know, and somehow Harold Covington, you know, got a clip to it where her partner went ahead and read I think an excerpt from newspaper man called Edwards, who essentially set up Jesse James as a lost hope of the Confederacy guerrilla or something like that, and essentially used him as a Democratic stalking horse in the late 1860s, 1870s, and I think he got killed by one of his own henchmen in 1881 or 1883 or something like that here. And essentially it was a story about how these people became quite dangerous guerrilla soldiers. And then you end up, you know, having Kathy Barton singing her own version of guerrilla man here, to where this girl wants to be, you know, the woman of a guerrilla soldier. And it was taken from a gambling man to where I want to be with a gambling man to a guerrilla man. So in many cases, I've gone ahead and used Harold Covington's, Harold Covington's music here. Now his last all music one was where he went ahead and changed the words to these Irish rebellion songs. And I don't know, isn't there anybody who essentially knows how to play guitar and knows how to play drums who can't go ahead and sing and go ahead and, you know, change, you know, Harold Covington's music to these songs here? Now what I've done is that I pretty well play the song and I turn the MP3, you know, player microphone toward my mouth here so I overshadow whatever the words are. You understand what I mean? But I would be quite interested in getting, you know, and I used to talk to old Poker Faces, Paul Topet here, and I said, why don't you, rather than having a rather, you know, rather rich, and, you know, I mean, he used to, way back in the 90s and early part, used to send me every year or so, he'd have a new album, and he'd send it to me and have me review it, and I'd review it pretty highly, because they are pretty good musicians. But what I said is that, why don't you just simply have, for Patriot songs, why don't you just simply play these old time Patriot songs and just simply upgrade them? You know what I mean? Sort of like Prussian Blue did. Prussian Blue, I mean, these girls could play fairly good. They could sing fairly good, but I don't think they were A-list talent. You know what I mean? I think they were sort of B type talent on a good day. But just simply come up with a number of these, you know, come up with a number of these albums here. And you have limited music here. Every so often I'll play something by Carl Klang. So the question of it is that usually when I do a show, I usually do it with, I just usually do it with, well, the music when I re-engineer a show, and I've fallen behind on my re-engineering skills. But, I don't know, a all music show, well, I'd have to have probably have to have new music, but I probably have to have a choice of new music here. And that would be sort of where you come in here.
Yeah, that's what I was getting at. you know, I was hoping that, you know, what we could do is, you know, set up a day to do it. I don't want to, you know, sort of muscle in on a week where, you know, when it's a lot of things happening and realize you got to comment on, you know, if there is anything happening and all that kind of deal. But, like, if it's a slow week some week, thinking that, you know, you could just call, you know, you could just call and, because I've got unlimited minutes on my phone and everything.
Oh, you got unlimited music now?
Do what now?
You got unlimited music, you know, minutes now then? I'm not costing you any money here by having you call in.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I've got unlimited.
What I might do is I might see if I can't buy a couple of these little eclipses here and essentially send you one in the mail. You know, if you can't get to Knoxville or something like that, and essentially go ahead and then have you download on your own computer WavePad, and then what you could do is you could essentially sing or do whatever on those, on that eclipse or something like that, and then change it to a 32 kps MP3 thing here, because this records in wave format, and essentially it's 10 times the size of an MP3, and pretty well have you do some of the music and sent to me as an email or something like that here. And then maybe have you essentially be sort of do a disc jockey show or something like that here. Come up with some new songs here. There's a number of them where, well, Harold Covington goes ahead and, he was sort of bemoaning the fact that, and he ended up playing the wolf tones here. But probably what he might have wanted to do was have somebody who was musically inclined essentially sing the new lyrics to the old songs here. You know, like, you know, the Boys in the Old Brigade here, or let me see, the Bridge at Tourelay, or I forget what he was here. He pretty well played because he wanted to. He went ahead and played the music of his books with the lyrics, but he didn't have the music to go ahead and sing with the new lyrics here. So that might be, you know, that might be the best thing to do here. Or have you essentially play the guitar, or, you know, do you just play guitar, you don't play drums or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Well, did you ever have a band or anything by any chance here?
No, I mean, I've had to get one together for a number of years, but it's just one of those deals where, you know, living out this far from Knoxville, I do, and everything, I couldn't get together with anybody. I had some near misses, but basically what would happen was I'd meet some good people that were interested, but like everybody else but me was, you know, I had to work, and eventually they didn't have enough time. They ended up having to just kind of give it up and everything, so never panned out.
People go ahead and get into a rut because, I mean, I guess it's sort of like Pharaonic Egypt. Everyone has their own, you know, bricks that they got to make without any straw, you know, and that's what happens here. But no, I wouldn't be at all adverse here to having a music show or a music variety show or something like that here. I don't know about an all music show. Pretty well, New Year's Day was just pretty well open call in and doing something like that here. But what I could do is essentially send you one of these MP3 players and through the mail. It probably wouldn't cost that very much here, and they're not very big or something like that, and just send you one of them here, and essentially, maybe a CD with the MP3 player, you know, WavePad software, to where you don't even have to know how to fix the thing up. You just go ahead and transfer it from WAV format to MP3 format, and that might be the easiest thing to do. Okay?
Okay.
All right. And you know, no, that's, you know, that might be the easiest thing to do here. But what you might want to do is, if you have a good deal of time, from what I gather, you are receiving a disability check of some sort, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What you have, and, you know, I sort of failed to, well, I am actually doing quite a few shows, and I am writing a good deal, but not as much as I really need to do. Not near as much as what Covington is doing, but, you know, in any case, what I see is I see more and more people, they're looking for, essentially, they're looking for a way out, because I sense that people know that the way things are going is not going to go, it's not going to end very well here, and they're looking for a way out. And pretty well what I advise people to do is don't worry about overthrowing Zog when it's doing such a good job of overthrowing itself. I'm urging people to essentially get under the radar. I mean, essentially realize in the scheme of things, you are not a Tyrannosaurus Rex. You're not even a Brontosaurus or a Stegosaurus or a Triceratops. You, in the overall scheme of things, are just a little bitty pre-possum, essentially looking up at essentially the end of the dinosaur age, and you need to stay in your burrow and stay out of trouble, and then later on, you know, go ahead and chew Stegosaurus, you know, go ahead and chew, you know, the good fatty flesh around Stegosaurus's asshole here when old Stegosaurus is laying belly up here in the mud, you know, during a nuclear winter here caused by the big old, you know, asteroid coming down or something like that here. And you need to work essentially on saving your own life here. You need to go ahead and live quietly. You need to maybe, get a laptop which doesn't require a lot of electricity. You can go ahead and get a small solar panel, for limited electricity. When the electricity goes off, I usually am wearing, on this little Wikipedia beer barrel shows me with my little bitty light, you know, my little head bandana, and it shows me with my little light, which goes ahead and uses 3 AAA batteries here, and essentially it goes ahead and gives you a light for reading or walking around in the dark or something like that, and everyone needs to essentially live frugally and figure out how to live frugally and, you know, to go ahead and last for a couple days at least, you know, without electrical power. But I think someday it's going to be is that electrical power will be out. You know what I mean? For months at a time. And essentially, you know, need to go ahead and figure out how to save rainwater, figure out how to grow a garden, figure out how to can food. I mean, you know, but in case, since you have the disability, it would be good if you could essentially learn how to play guitar. You don't need drums. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, that would be a good thing here. But if you have ideas for a show, for an all music show, why, hey, I'm open, you know, I'm open to it. Remember, this is Talk Shoe. It doesn't have to be good. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, you have 5 hours, 5 hours to say, I mean, essentially pull a Gene Scott. And I remember I got out of the Army, and here's this character named Gene Scott. He's sitting on his director's chair, and most of the time he's just stalling at people. I'm not going to start teaching until you start, you know, until I hear these phones ringing, you're sending in some money. And I looked, and sure enough, people go ahead and send money. And I didn't think that the teaching was that good here to send even a nickel. So I never sent any money in, but I remember one night, I think he was in a snit because people weren't sending enough money. So he just stared at the camera for hours. You know what I mean? Well, folks, heck, that is not even Talk Shoe quality, and here he is having 3 hours from 1 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. You know, Gene Scott doing that sort of thing. And so, I mean, this is talk show. I mean, it's just simply, you know, it's, you know, I mean, people, from what I gather, what people do is they download the show. And they they download the show. And what they do is they just simply, you know, they don't really want to. It's not something you play on a boombox or anything like that. You play it with on an MP3 player or something here with headphones is what you do. I mean, this is not something which most people will like here. I was looking at a few lawyers or a few federal judges here on a number of things, and they were bitching. They were bitching about this show and said, here is this maniac who's obviously drunk singing about letting red blood flow on the courthouses here. And, you know, they didn't know what the hell to do about it because, you know, there's not supposed to be any gag order. You know what I mean? You know, it's not singing about anyone in particular having their red blood flow on the courthouse lawns, but, you know, you remember the Florida Geyer? It ends with all the, you know, let me see, White Man Go, Revo Ho, you know, on the city roof with the red cock crow, White Man Go, Civil War Ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow, and, listen to that here. I mean, whose blood do you think is going to be spilt on the courthouse lawns here? Yeah, they're thinking, ours will. I mean, we're judges and lawyers and, you know, all sorts of things here. It doesn't say whether it's a county courthouse or a federal courthouse, but, you know, they're looking and they're not too crazy about what they hear on this particular show. And, oh well here. What I see is that what I value you for is that you have some rather perceptive comments here, so I pretty well opened up a sub forum on my forum for you to you and you alone to essentially you know, say something. If you want any comments, you put any comment, any post you want on the regular, you know, on the regular place of the forum. If you just want you to respond to it, you just go ahead and write in your own sub forum. And I'm sort of hoping that maybe you'll get back to playing the guitars. You know, I don't know if it's like riding a bicycle or not here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it'll be a little harder than that. Of course, I lost all my picks and everything, too, so I have to get some new picks or something.
Oh, well, I mean, can't you, take a popsicle stick and use that as a pick or something?
Probably, yeah, something.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, just, or a piece of plastic here or something like that. I've seen people take a piece of rigid plastic here and then cut out and use that as a guitar pick or something like that. So, anyway, here.
I wanted to ask you, is it set up now so that, like, when I post a new thread to, say, the general section or something like that, that it would automatically post it to my subforum too, or
no. I mean, if you want to post something to your subforum, you post it to your subforum. I think I've set to where only a moderator or an admin can go ahead and post to your subforum. Of course, if you go ahead and post it in a general place here. Essentially, that's outside your subforum, and anybody can go ahead and, you know, respond to it. But there's not that many people. Most of the posters on there are sundry sock puppets here. Now, Jeremy Visser, I didn't ban Jeremy Visser. I just went ahead and took over his. His account. You know what I mean? By changing the password. You know what I mean? And what happens is that what I do is I don't have a lot of outside posters to my forum. Essentially what I do is I'll take a post by Alex Linder and sometimes add blue in it. Sometimes it's really ridiculous on his face, I'll leave it as is. Same way with Obi Genderbender, same way with a number of other people here. I don't think there's more than five or six other people who essentially, other than myself, who are real, who are posting to my, subforum. You know what I mean? Now this guy who used to be on there from, you know, named Les here, why heck, he just pretty well abandoned me in favor of Fink here. And I think the reason he did that was that, you know, he was telling me how badly he got abused by Aryan Nations pastors. And like I told you, I think he just wants to be abused here. That's the reason he attends church here. You know what I mean? And I guess I won't abuse him enough here, so he pretty well abandoned me. But, you know, you only have about four or five other people who actually are posting in any case here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, essentially, if you want to post something in the general discussion list here where that's not your subforum, well, you got to expect that other people may or may not, you know, usually chances are they won't here, may want to respond to it. If you want to post something by yourself here, essentially you have to be a moderator or an admin, a moderator and above in order to actually, you know, everybody can see it, but only moderators and above can respond to it. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
I guess that's about it then.
Well, I was glad I could go ahead. And as far as having an all music movement turd or whatever, to be honest with you, that's going to be something that you're going to have to mainly have to work on. Do you understand what I mean? Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
what I was thinking before was, you know, it's just a sort of, you know, if all else failed type thing, you know, if nothing else, is it maybe could do one just sort of pretty much live. I mean, I'd have to, that's what I was telling you about before as far as the hands-free device and all that.
Uh-huh.
Get my sister's friend to go ahead and program it to the phone and everything, but I still...
Well,
a tutorial before I can figure out how to use it.
Well, the problem, you know, it seems like the easiest thing to do would not to have it quote live, unless you're going ahead and essentially you're being a disc jockey and you have a number of tracks here, and I don't know, I already got an extra MP3 player. I may go ahead and just send it to you. You know, just go ahead and send it to you. I may buy that one for $17.99. I mean, it's on sale. Yeah, I may buy two or three for $17.99. And for those who, I might send one to Logan or, you know, Logan got enough money to buy one himself here. But on the other hand, I may buy me a couple of these, Eclipse MP3 players and essentially send that and include a CD download of WavePad. And pretty well the thing to do is that even if they just have, 2000 era XP, you know, XP computer, which is, you know, not uncommon, why heck, all they'd have to do is just simply change it from, you know, the wave format to an MP3 format. And essentially what boils down to is that when I do a parody song, I pretty well write out I download the old lyrics, and then, you know, you go ahead and you figure out which beat it sticks to, and then you write the new lyrics. And that's the easiest way to do things. Okay? And pretty well, you going ahead and calling it in over the air, the easiest thing to do is go ahead and have the, quote, live show, but then later on, take the MP3s and just simply play them. And that means you'd essentially be quiet every so often, so it'd be easier to put the actual songs in between here, you know what I mean? See, when they go on live tour, what they tried to do is they tried to make it sound like the studio version. And I don't know if you remember Milli Vanilli, you know, these two Jamaican niggers who were caught lip syncing. They were caught lip syncing, and what they had is that they had they were playing vinyl records here, and the thing went ahead and got, you know, caught in the same freaking groove here. Remember, this was way back I think in the 90s here, and these two niggers got caught. You know, they were playing, I think, Blame It on the Rain here, and they were really popular here, and then they went on tour, and essentially these two niggers got caught here. So they went ahead and ran, just like a pair of niggers here, from this concert they were giving here. You know what I mean? And then everybody got mad. Everybody got mad at these fraudulent niggers. You know what I mean? But, hey, there was a Jew boy who, you know, knew that these niggers wouldn't really make it live, you know, wouldn't make it live here. That's why they had to go ahead and, you know, that's why they had to lip sync. You know what I mean? So you remember Milli Vanilli, right?
Yeah, that was the year I graduated from high school.
Okay, what was that? Yeah, let's see. You graduated, that would have been around 2000 then, right?
No, not 91.
Oh, 91. Okay, I'm sorry. So, yeah, I knew it was in the 90s. I sort of thought it was in the late 90s, but... That's what we might very well do here. So I'll see if I can't go ahead, you know, since you're a long ways away from Best Buy here, I'll see if I can't go ahead and get some of them MP3 players and essentially have you record an MP3 and then send it back to me in an MP3, you know, file format. And essentially, we could do a quote live show. But what we would do is that, you know, it'd be on Talk Show. Eventually have you go ahead and make cases, you or you and me go ahead and do the tracks, and then we go ahead and play them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would be the way to do it. In any case here, I guess I'll let you go then, okay?
Okay.
Alrighty, well, I'm glad you could be in here, and I guess I'll say Hail Victory then, okay?
Okay.
Alright, Hail Victory. Anyway, folks, we're going to take about a 2 or 3 minute break here, and I'll come back to the chat here, and I was glad Trash Can Man could call in. So, folks, Hail Victory.
I ain't got time for that now. Heard about Detroit. Heard about Pittsburgh, PA. You ought to know not to stand by the window. Somebody see you up there. I got some buckwheat, some peanut butter. To last a couple of days. But I ain't got no speakers. Ain't got no headphones. Ain't got no records to play.
Okay, folks, I'm back here. I got the heater running. I'm looking at the chat here. Someone gave me a hard time about not promoting mom and pop stores. Well, folks, there's hardly any mom and pop stores in Granby. There's the Ramey's, and there's a Dollar General owned by the Styrons, who are a bunch of thieving Anglo mestizos who essentially want me to pay theft incremented financing, or TIF financing, to pay for their Dollar General store. Now, I occasionally buy things at the Dollar General store, but folks, there's no mom and pop stores here in Granby, except maybe JJ's. There's another one called Michael Logan's, and he's a California refugee who essentially wants to bring a pig on every street corner in Granby like he had in California when he fled it in 1993. And I don't have much use for that worthless bastard, and I refuse to buy anything. But folks, as far as getting a cheap MP3 player, there is no mom and pop stores in Granby or in Neosho, and probably none in Joplin. There just isn't any. So, in any case here, that's sort of nonsense. Guest number 13. Let me see. Yeah, Pearson talking to Andy Donner. And I guess Pearson wants to do that here. Let me see here. Okay. All righty. Well, let me see. Okay, well, yeah, Pearson, he's going to send Covington, I guess, some money here. Well, yeah, I mean, if Pearson wants to do that, do this sort of thing. My problem with Pearson is he never listens to a damn thing I say. He does whatever the hell he wants to do, and then he acts like a tard when I chew on his ass. You know what I mean? So, I have Is that how you record music? Yeah, with an MP3 player. I go ahead and I will, you know, when I do a parody song, what I will do is I will, well, I'll go ahead and, figure out what parody song I want to do here. I will download the actual lyrics. I have it running around in my mind as to what new parody, there was a song, What Do You Get When You Fall in Love Here? It was sung by Mary Chapin Carpenter. And essentially I changed it to What Do You Get When You Fuck With Jews Here? And essentially I had to type it out, and then I had to essentially pause the song here. It took me a while. Some of them, like You're a Mean Kike, Rab, I think, essentially was just me about the first or second time straight off here. Wigger Problem, I used to sing it, with Dave Ball way back when this show started here Movement Turd 8 or 9 or 7 or something like that. I was always singing Wigger Problem. Now, what I do is I figure out what song I'm going to sing. I download the actual lyrics, and then I try to match them with the new lyrics. And then I will sing with an MP3 player. I have a SanDisk Fuse MP3 player from about 2 or 3 years ago here. The battery doesn't last as long as it used to, but still lasts long enough here. And I do this show with an MP3 player. Okay? Oh, by the way, Logan sent me an email. I checked it. He has to work tomorrow. So he's going to be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and sell some cars or do whatever, tomorrow. And so he's called it a night here. All right? So when is Logan calling in? Well, probably next Thursday. Okay? And let's see here. I'm looking at the chat here. Let's see here. Little bitty Headlight Linstead. Well, folks, you can go ahead and check the Wikipedia Martin Linstead here. And essentially that's me April special election here, or municipal election here. So, okay here. Like Robert Shaw and Jaws. Why not? I mean, he had open gender bender menstruating at me unleashing the webcam here on either compact number one or Toshiba number three, unleashing the webcam of war. So you can go ahead and see my half-shaven ass just running around jumping and bobbing and weaving here and singing Wigger Problem, you know what I mean? Shame I don't have any chickens here. I was going to go ahead and, while I'm singing Wigger Problem, I was going to go ahead, show the antics of chickens flapping around here and chasing each other and doing stuff like that here. You know what I mean? So, let's see here. I think Covington probably keeps old copies of it here. If you go ahead and send enough money, he'll probably send you whatever you need here. You know what I mean? So, let's see here. I'm looking at the chat here. Prohibit the bringing of hate law materials into Canada. Well, then why? Don't ask for the Northwest Observer here. You know what I mean? So, Yeah, I mean, you know, Pearson always gets in trouble. He always seems to manage to find a way to get in trouble. You know what I mean? So, okay, here. Pearson's case here. Okay, well, let me go ahead and look at White News Now. Okay. Let's go ahead and look at Pearson's case here. Paul Fromm. I don't have, he's a lifetime member of Uyghur News Now here. Let's see. Okay. Okay, went July 67th, Council of Conservative Citizens of Nashville, Tennessee. Blue. Okay. Okay. Well, Carlton went ahead and seen that. Banned in Kazakhstan here. Let's see here. Well, guest number 6, you don't like Trash Can Man. That's too bad. Let's see. I'm looking at this here. Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, shoot, if you sent, if you went ahead, if Pearson sent, what, dues of $10 a month, $120 a year, and then said, well, hey, look, Harold, I live in Kazakhstan still here. I haven't managed to make it out west yet. Would you please send me a PDF? A PDF of your Northwest Observers to me. I imagine Covington would do it. You know, I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do. I mean, I used to be a longtime reader of Covington back and Spire on Covington back when days he used to be on Yahoo Groups, and he used to. Oh, wait about 4 or 5 months, and he used to print. He used to go ahead and print what was on a previous Northwest Observer 6 months or older beforehand. And as a result, no, I haven't seen really any new stuff here from Harold Covington when he goes ahead and does it. Now, some of it might be topical at the time, but most of the time it's not. Okay? So, let's see, folder all. That means it's nonsense. Let me see here. Folder all. It means nonsense. Yeah, that's what it means here. Let's see. Okay. Well, I mean, folks, if you want to smuggle anything like hate literature, I mean, I wouldn't have Douglas Pearson go ahead and send it in. I've been to Canada, you know, back when I drove a truck over 20 years ago. Less than 10 and more than 5 times here, you know what I mean? So, Brampton. Well, I'm not going to Brampton, wherever the hell that is here. If I wanted to see niggers, I could go over to Springfield and see them. They got a few niggers in the Osho, but not very much here. Let's see. They used to have niggers back at Crowder College when I went to it in the mid, and, you know, from 1976 to 1978. That was when Crowder had a basketball team here. They used to import these New Jersey niggers and beat the crap out of all the other community colleges in Missouri and Oklahoma and Kansas. Some in Arkansas here. Let's see here. Oh, keep away from my butt. Okay. I'm looking at this here. Stop the name calling. I won't do that. Will you, Pastor? Well, the answer is hell no. I'm not going to stop the name calling. I don't have much use for Jew boys like Eli James or Finkelschini or shit, you know, shit color, you know, nigger lip mamsers. I mean, you know, here's Pearson. He goes ahead and he acts like he gets to tell me what to do. And here, you know, here is a character which don't know how to behave, don't listen to a damn thing you tell him to do, seems to always find his way to getting into trouble, and he's telling you what to do? I mean, I don't think so. You know what I mean? So, in any case here, I'm not going to stop the name calling. I mean, you know, maybe you ought to go ahead and choose somebody who's more in line with you here, you know, than myself here. I mean, I think I've given Pearson plenty of, you know, time. But anyway, I was looking at the chat, and yeah, Pearson's saying a bunch of silly shit here. I mean, look, folks, if you want to go ahead and you live in Kanuckistan and you want to carry in racist shit here, I mean, you should do it like all the other closet racists in Kanuckistan. You should just simply download it, you know, download it off the net here. Go ahead and use a Tor browser, and that's what I was trying to tell Pearson how to do. Go ahead and go to Tor browser and go to the Tor webpage and download the last one to where, essentially when you browse it, they think you're either in China or Denmark or Germany or whatever. And, folks, I use a Tor browser whenever I'm trolling VNNF here or Wigger News Now or Sperm Fart or whatever. I mean, shoot, I've figured out that, you know, they don't need to, you know, they don't, you know, or Jeremy Visser's. That's why I know Obagenderbender is a data miner. You know, that worthless Mamzer Kike Tranny Faggot won't let me get on to its forum using a Tor browser or even other ones here. And Think Machine used to do the same thing here. I used to use hidemyass.com to get on Think Machine's, forum and spy, and essentially Think Machine wouldn't allow that to allow that to happen. So essentially Think Machine and Nimbusters and Obagenderbender, well, they're all just a bunch of data miners. They don't want you getting on using a proxy server or a Tor browser. But the other ones, which are bigger, like Sperm Fart, I mean, there's no way that they can prevent you from using a anonymous proxy server or Tor browser. And sometimes when I'm sort of curious, I go ahead and log on using the Tor browser. I got a little thumb drive in my $70 gateway, the non-laptop, in the bedroom. I'll go ahead and I have the thing in there and I click on Tor browser, and sometimes I'm sort of curious when I'm logging on as to where the hell do they think I am here? And sometimes I think I'm a chink or some sort here. I mean, I can't read gook, so I'm not sure if it's Japan or China or Taiwan. But sometimes I can go ahead and tell if I'm in Russia or it's a German or a Danish or a Swedish or a Kanuckistan or a United States browser, but it's not the one that I'm from. And so as a result, I do know how to essentially use a browser here. And Pearson could do the same thing. He could go ahead and, he could go ahead and form a Yahoo account. I'm not a Jew666@yahoo.com. And essentially tell Covington, "Hi, it's me, Doug. Oh, can you go ahead and send me some of your most, hateful hate material? Making fun of faggots and Jews and niggers and all this sort of thing." instead, he goes ahead and he just does stupid shit. He gets caught all the time here. So anyway, he was freaking out Carolyn Yenta, earlier here, okay? So, where am I at here? Let's see here. Oh, there's plenty here. Hockey Jews. Well, in any case, I never paid that much attention to hockey here. I sort of thought what it is a bunch of wiggers getting together We have a whole bunch of padded uniforms and sticks here. And essentially, when they get into a big old fight, I guess they're not allowed. I guess they could go to jail if they actually slash at somebody with a damn hockey stick. What they do is they hear they're all padded up like crazy, and they're pummeling each other. They're pummeling each other with their fists on their padded clothing. And you got to wonder, what the hell is the point to that? You know what I mean? I mean, it's sort of like just having a pillow fight here. If I want to see a pillow fight, well, I'll just go ahead and, go ahead and dig out my DVD of Animal House. You know, the original Animal House where they had topless, titty pillow fighting, in the sorority scene that old Bruto or John Belushi is looking at here, where their tits are flapping and they're hitting each other with pillows, have a pillow fight that way here. Yep. Anyway, okay. Let me see. Is the toughest of any sport in the world? Okay, well, that's nice here. Well, I guess it's okay here. Any case here, where am I at here? I don't know. I just, there were some local hockey teams over in Springfield. I had a friend who coached some of this amateur hockey, and I guess that's actual hockey wherever they do whatever they do, is hockey here. You know what I mean? But, I wasn't big on that here, okay? Anyway, where am I at here? Okay, well, Andy, I guess Andy doesn't bother. I guess Seattle has a hockey team. I imagine it does. I don't know what the hell the name of it would be here. You know what I mean? Martin has a, I have a hockey connection. I used to have somebody who used to go to this, from my girl, they had a hockey rink, an ice skating rink at Springfield. And you'd have, youth go ahead and do it here. But, how about some backyard shimmy? I don't really know anything about hockey. I mean, like I said before, I've looked at it a few times on the Olympics here. To be honest with you, I have looked at more roller derby than I've looked at hockey. You know what I mean? I've looked at, back in the days when I used to watch televised sports here, I think I watched more roller derby than I watched hockey. I mean, and really, when it comes down to it, I think they're about the same thing here. You know what I mean? It's just that roller derby ends up having split tails here, going ahead and having a big old fight on roller skates here, whereas hockey just has a bunch of wiggers, fighting with each other on on ice skates here. You know what I mean? Can you say, go Leafs go? I can say go Leafs go. I think you're talking about Toronto here, huh? Right? So, any case here, shitty, okay. You can't show up at a hockey game. Folks, you have Jew boys calling me a cholo here, you know what I mean? So I guess if you have a lot of Jew boys at a hockey game, no big deal here. I've never been to a live hockey game. I once went to a real live baseball game when I was selling books door to door in the Atlanta area, and I went to see the Braves, and they were playing somebody at the bottom. Hello.
Hey, Martin. Jack, this is Shane.
Okay. Hey, there. That's for you.
Yeah.
Well, that was Jane here, okay?
Yeah.
Alrighty. Right, whatever the stones. Anyway, here. Seattle's full flags here. Should build is about basketball. Basketball? Huh. Well, I guess, you know, I mean, well, we have some Nimtards, and we might very well have Obagender Bender in tonight here. I'm trying to figure out if 13 is Obagender Bender, but don't sound like it here. 18 sounds more like Obagender Bender, okay? So, anyway, Seattle's trying to get the Sacramento Kings. I'm not quite sure what the hell a Sacramento Kings is here. Let me see here. Let's see. okay. Mariners? I think I've heard of the Mariners, and I guess I heard of the Seahawks. But, you know, I mean, Are they nigger ball players of some sort here? I mean, football nigger ball players or basketball nigger ball players here? You know what I mean? And I don't know. I never went through downtown Seattle. I went around the port because they had a bunch of, what they would do is that you would go ahead and unload whatever the hell they had. And in any case, they'd go ahead and then ship it to warehouses or something like that here. I went to a warehouse to unload back when O'Sullivan was making this press board TV stands or something like that here. I once had a whole load of them, and pretty well I picked it up in Lamar, Missouri. And drove it to Bremerton, and pretty well went up this peninsula. I forget which one I went up. Highway went up here. You had an interstate going through Olympia, Tacoma, and pretty well I took the one to Bremerton, and it was a fairly pretty big old warehouse here that I delivered at in Bremerton here. I'm trying to remember. I think it was in either November or March, something like that here. Seahawks or something on Drudge here. Sports in Seattle here. Well, let's go ahead and look at it here. Okay, let me see. Sports in Seattle. I mean, Toshiba number one has just croaked on me. What to say here? Let's go ahead and click this other one here. Sports in Seattle. Seattle Mariners are baseball. Seahawks are football. Sounders are soccer. I didn't know they had. Seattle Storm is basketball. I never heard of Seattle Storm. Red Hawks is basketball. Oh, this is NCAA or something like. Women's National Basketball Association. Well, I didn't know they had one here. Oh, the Rat City Roller Girls. Well, I haven't heard of them. The Rat City Roller Girls for roller derby. Well, that's nice here. Indoor football. I didn't know they had indoor football. Australian football. I didn't know they had Australian football. Ultimate Players, Soccer, Ice Hockey, Seattle Thunderbirds, okay? You have Mixed Martial Arts, you have Ice Hockey, Seattle Totems, well, that sounds something like that here. Soccer and Lacrosse, well, wow. But I had somewhat heard of the Seattle Mariners and the Seattle Seahawks, but I wasn't quite sure what it was, because I don't really look at baseball. I mean, I don't look at football, and I don't look at any of the other stupid shit here that they, do here. So, any case here. Somebody, there you got Rat City Roller Girls posters here? Well, hey. Rat City, why Rat City? I mean, shoot. Would you really call it Rat? Is Seattle famous for its rats here? You know, because we call it Rat City. Really, girls? Well, you gotta wonder, Rat City? You know what I mean? Is it where pigeons famous? How about squab hunting? You know what I mean? You go ahead and you pick up these rats with wings and you go ahead and you throw them. Instead of going ahead and shooting at clay pigeons, you go ahead and shoot at live pigeons. But I bet if you did that shit, the SPCA, the Society for Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, would go ahead and just have a shit fit even over you shooting rats with wings here. You know what I mean? Now, I've eaten dove here, and dove ain't that bad here, but there ain't really that much to them here. And a pigeon, I guess, is bigger than a dove here, but still. I don't think it's that, I don't think it's that big here. Sort of like eating a quail. You know, quails ain't that bad to eat in here either. But, in any case here, it's my time, okay, here. Let's see here. Oh, Seattle is fag. How about the fag city? Roller squirrels here. You know what I mean? How about a any case here? Let's see. I'm looking at that here. Guest number 18 is probably Obagender Bender here. Let's see here. I'm go ahead and look at that here. Yep. Probably guest number 6 is Jeremy Visser here, and guest number 18 is Obagender Bender. I'm restarting the Toshiba number 1. I guess got overworked or something, overwarm or something like that here. Okay? So, let's see here. Oh, I've been yakking here. Got Jane on there. Well, I'm going off for 31 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and take a break. And I might go ahead and talk. You know, this is sort of a Gene Scott night here. I might very well talk about, all the places here where I've seen something interesting here. I've seen a repeat of Wesley Swift, one of Wesley Swift's sermons. And Wesley Swift did definitely believe in predestination here. And, anyway, I got an email from, Buddy Tucker with a video where he goes and explains why he believes in predestination. And, in case, we went ahead and talked about it Friday, me and Logan did. So, I don't think I'll ever really believe in predestination. I don't think, or not predestination, or preexistence. I don't think I'll ever teach it. But I don't really have a problem with it. But then again, I'll have a problem with Ephraim Scepter. So I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break, and I'll come back, and we might, talk about other things other than sports in Seattle, such as they are. So, folks, we'll be back in a bit. Hail Victory. Today, up the narrow street he steps,
smiling, proud and young. About the heavy throne on his neck, the golden ring that hung. There was never a tear in his blue eyes, so glad and bright were they. As young body McCauley chose the child, the bridge of doom to pay. When he stepped up the street, shining pipes in hand, around him busking grim array, a starlight furnace band. For London town, for London town, he led them to the fray. As that body slowly goes to die, there is buried a woman of all your death, bravely fell in prey. And he who marches to his death on the bridge of doom today, true to the last, true to the last, he bent the upward way. As young body as young Roddy McCauley goes to die on the bridge of doom today.
Okay, here. Anyway. So somebody wants me to play a song here, you know what I mean? Let's see. Pre-existence here. You have, over on the Pisser Possum Forum, you have this character called Solomon. Now he's actually a Sephardic mamzer named Lenio C. Barcelos, and Barcelos is a Portuguese town. He used to be Sci-Fi Faber's little meerkat, but he went ahead and I guess Sci-Fi pretty well disappeared, so he went with Visser, even though Visser went ahead and betrayed Sci-Fi. Let me go ahead and see if I can't put on. Let me see if I can't go ahead and find this thing. I want to go ahead and look real offhand here at Wesley Swift's. Let's see, forums, Pisser's Pussy Parlor. Let's see, yeah, which is his latest one here. Let me see what's new. Okay. We have old Suey Mamzer. He's gone ahead. Old Lenny O. C. Barcelos here. Pre-existence, yes or no? So let me click it here. Page 2. Well, Suleiman, he believes in pre-existence, but then again, he's a Mamzer, so does that really matter? And the answer is, I think it does here. You know what I mean? Does Sci-Fi do any podcasts? Sci-Fi used to do podcasts. I think the most famous one he did was when August Christ had paid for doing it on the Hal Turner Show. Here comes Sci-Fi Faber. He goes ahead and invades Hal Turner's podcast and say that from now on there's not going to be any factions of the Aryan Nations that are in Sci-Fi's podcast. I think that was in summer of 2004, 2005. It was hilarious. Old Sci-Fi Faber was just screaming like crazy here. You know what I mean? Okay, well, yes, well, you got the thing on. Why don't you go ahead and play, you know, Super Pick in here, you know what I mean? Okay. Anyway, let's see here. Let me see. And you have, from that July 6th, 1966, you have Dr. Wesley Swift going ahead on his Wednesday night Bible study, questions and answer, saying, well, here's some questions that have come in from our tape audience I think we should answer. What evidence do we have that we pre-existed before we were born? What did we do before we were born into the world? If a man goes to heaven when he dies, and what evidence is there that he comes back here? And I'm going to go ahead and look at that. I'm going to go ahead and look at Pastor Buddy Tucker's video. And I can't claim I'm going to look at it with an open mind. I don't think I am. But on the other hand, it seems to me that preexistence is, in many cases, a belief system of a good many people in Christian identity. And, you know, to be honest with you, I really don't know. I mean, I really don't know. I have problems with it because once you end up believing in preexistence, it seems to me that you're going to end up believing in reincarnation. And once you go ahead and believe a number of things, you're going to believe in predestination, which means that you're not going to believe in free will, like Pastor Buddy Tucker does not believe. And in some cases, I wonder what in the world is the point here. So, and this is what sort of amuses me, is that Logan says he believes in preexistence and he believes in reincarnation, but it seems to me that he doesn't believe it as strong as you would think he would. So he had probably far more trouble, problems with Buddy Tucker's belief than what I did. So in any case, I am, folks, going to look into this here. You know what I mean? I am going to look into this here. And I can't say I'm going to agree with it, but I am going to try to look at it with as open a mind as I can. I can't promise anything here, but I'm going to go ahead and send Pastor Buddy Tucker and the guy who went ahead, John Monica Reyes Thomas. I'm going to go ahead and send essentially an invite to listen in to Logan's show here, and pretty well come on for another session. And in many cases, I think it's worth saying. Now, generally, Oba Genderbender and Pisser are going to, of course, now that's a big topic, I think they're going to address it on the Pisser Possum show Wednesday night here, or I call it the Pisser Possum Turds here, and it doesn't really matter. Folks, you have Visser and you have Oba Genderbender, and folks, you go ahead and you look at Visser, and the character is a shitskin. Now, I believe he's a Sephardic Melungeon shitskin. It's like I was trying to tell Pearson and a few other people, shoot. I mean, I've had, Mongoloid Hardy, I've had dealings with Visser. And if you have dealings with Visser, Visser will, he'll lie, he'll try to cheat you, he'll try to backstab you. I mean, essentially the critter is an altogether, odious critter here. And essentially, I had my suspicions that he was a Mamzer when his confederate Brian Wright went ahead and came up with the racial fraud, which is Christian identity, on July 5th of 2009 on Visser's old forum, because he was mad that Visser had kicked him off for the fourth or fifth time for stalking John Britton and his family. And you have these characters, they get a little bit of truth, and then they just lie and lie and lie, and they twist, and they try to make you into something you're not. And any case, I put up, you know, pretty well, you know, the veil sort of got slipped out of my eyes when I went in and found out the Goetz Church was about, the charter was about to expire. And I sort of thought, I'm wondering whether Brian Wright and Visser know that the charter is about to expire and whether or not they're going to try to get, you know, try to get a Confederate to essentially recharter the Church of the Sons of Yahweh and try to take the $400,000 sum that's in that trust fund and take it away from Goetz. And so I went ahead and changed the subject to, no, Brian Wright, you resigned from the Church of the Sons of Yahweh in May of 2007, according to this. And pretty well beat back Visser and supposedly, you know, Fruit Loop Visser and supposedly Bridget the Idiot Visser. I mean, all these characters are just thieving mongrels. They're just vermin. And essentially, you know, then I found out later that month that Sci-Fi Faber and Visser had a big old scheme to where, with the aid of Eli James, they were going to kick me out of my own church here, and, you know, Hal Turner was involved with it somehow, and then, you know, folks, Hal Turner is revealed to be a rat, and then Sci-Fi Faber don't have very much to, go in with. And so Visser goes ahead and turns on Sci-Fi Faber, and then Sci-Fi said, no, Visser, it was your idea to pull this shit, and Liz said he's covering up for you. So he goes ahead and screams at me. And Sci-Fi lasted for about another year or so. He was fighting with Paul Mowat. I mean, folks, you know, these characters are just clowns. They're liars and Zogbots. But, you know, pretty well, at the end of September, and by the way, Visser, I'm going to leave Christian Identity yet again. You know, 2 days before 9/9/09, and he decided to go ahead and do it with Eli and Finkelschini, do a little bit of a show, and he's listening to Finkelschini go on about how the millennium has already come and gone, and the Roman Catholic Church put Satan in the pit for 1,000 years. He's looking sort of askance at that stupid crap. He's going along with it because he's just a thieving mamzer. So by the time December comes along, and January starts to come along, and here's this, or all of a sudden getting all this money to buy a copy of vBulletin 4.0.1 and having actual server space instead of using all the free servers. Well, folks, I'm beginning to go ahead and smell a Zogbot rat. And folks, the rumor was, in September, he's claiming the FBI is kicking in his door, and then later on he goes ahead and blames it on me, and I don't know why. You know, it's just like, Winston went ahead and put in bomb, you know, I'm a bomber here. Well, no, Vissi, you're the one running around dressing up like you're a bomber, dressing up in a hoodie, pretend that you're a bomber. You know, I didn't have anything to do with that. You're the one, he's going ahead and claiming to be Cherokee Visser. You're the one pulling all this stupid shit. Not me, Visser. Not me. So, in any case here, I decide that, you know, when I see old Brian Wright and I see old supposedly Fruit Loop Visser, who I never, you know, or Sean Aaron Visser, who I'm not sure ever was part of Visser's ministry at all. It's just Visser creating a little sock puppet. You know, maybe Sean Aaron Visser doesn't want anything to do with Jeremy Visser. That might be the case here. And essentially, in that case, Jeremy Visser is essentially defrauding his own full-blooded brother, who looks like a beaner because he's darker. Why? Hey, I wouldn't doubt that Visser has no decency even with his own kind. But I was going, you know, by this time, come around, and, well, Brian Wright gets to go ahead and use all the profanity he wants, but he's going to go ahead and look at Linstead, he's going to go ahead and look at Britain. I decide I was going to dump Visser that year. 2003, one of my New Year's resolution is sever any ties with Visser. And so when Obagender Bender showed up in early February and then decided to attack, is profanity really necessary in Christian Identity? Well, folks, Sink cussed like a sailor. And later on, so did Visser. And, you know, that just pretty well told me is that, shit, all these characters are showing up. They're Mongols, they're Mamzers, they're wannabes, they're pretends. They're Dewey Tucker's whatnots. I mean, I decided to go ahead and start a podcast called The Movement Turd on February 7th, 2010. So, folks, this show is, what, 2 months, 2 years, and 11 months old. And I decided I was going to get rid of Visser. And sure enough, what happens is that Visser went ahead and censored me. Censored Pastor John Britton, and we got banned on, what, the 21st of March. So, you know, I mean, folks, I really don't mind characters like Obagender Bender. I don't really mind characters like Brian Rio or Fink or the rest here, because what they are is that they're Judas Mamzers. They're Judas ghosts. They tell me who to keep an eye on. Just like Alex Linder going ass to mouth with Trader Glenn Miller in April of 2004. I mean, Linder was dead as far as the old resistance was concerned. I mean, this Christmas coup of 2004 was nothing more than Billy Roper deciding is that, hey, I've got to go ahead and choose a side. I've got to go ahead and make it clear that I am not supporting Alex Linder supporting Trader Glenn Miller. So, Dewey Tucker, okay? All right. Link to his video. Can you ban the flutter here? I don't see any flutter other than Frankenwigger, so I'm not going to ban Frankenwigger here. You know, has Martin finally got around to studying some Dr. Swift's sermons? Yes, Martin has finally gotten around to it, okay? So, in case, this next Friday, I'm hoping to have Dewey Tucker back on again. And, I'll let Logan do, it's Logan's show here, so I'll let Logan do most of the talking here. But let Dewey do most of the talking here. But folks, I don't know. If you listen to my, three and a half hour show afterwards here, I mean, I think I was perfectly respectful to Pastor Tucker. I had a number of questions to ask here. And maybe some of these questions need to be re-asked here. Okay? Do I have a link to the extra 3 hours I did with Dewey Tucker? You need to go to the Logan Hunter's show here. Let me see if I can get it here. Let me see if I can go ahead and see it. Christian and Dante. I'm going to I don't have a link to Logan Hunter. It's, let's see. Well, the one to Logan Hunter is 116732. It's sort of like mine is 111132. Logan's is 111162 here. Well, 6732, I believe. Let me go ahead and see if I can find it here. Okay. 11116732. Delete. 6732. Okay. And what I would want you to do, if you want to go ahead and look at the show, it says two hours and 6 minutes. It's episode number 38.5, Conversation with Buddy Tucker, 29th December 2012, and you have 4 hours and 54 minutes on 12/28/2012 here. Let's see if I go ahead and click that here. Let's see. Okay. In any case, that's what the episode it is. Essentially, I go ahead and ask Buddy Tucker. I end up asking, I think, about Pastor Butler. Dewey Tucker didn't think that highly of Pastor Richard Butler. But then again, I mean, from my gear, I think he had the notion that Butler was trying to, trying to go ahead and take over his NEWS here. You know what I mean? So, in any case, I don't know if it was one of a few times when I was actually a mediocre or maybe even slightly good interviewer. You know what I mean? Now, in any case here, go to that and choose 38.5. Go ahead and choose 38.5 of December 29th, 2012. And, okay. Well, I mean, folks, Mongoloid, what he does, he'll download the thing and he'll play it on one of his computers, or he'll go ahead and he'll just take it in increments here. Folks, this is, this is not something that, my show is not something that most of you want to be playing in a boombox, even if you're not surrounded by niggers. You know what I mean? So, in case someone was bitching me to shut the door. Anyway, I go ahead, and folks, you gotta remember, this is talk show. This is not high quality, high engineered, radio show. I mean, and really, when it comes down to it, is pretty well the antithesis of one of Harold Covington's shows, in that Harold will, in many cases, have a script. Now, it doesn't really matter that this script might be, 20 years old, because in many cases, I've read what he is going to say quite a few times before. You know what I mean? And I have listened to every single one of his podcasts. I think he's up to, 153 of them by now? And I have read on, e-groups? In many cases, what he had previously put on NF Frontier. I mean, Pearson is whining about how his NF Front got taken away or something like that. Well, just go ahead, Pearson, if you want to really read Harold Covington, go ahead and ask him to let you on Truth Commission or any of this stuff here. I mean, in many cases, Covington will reprint what he's already posted on Northwest Observer. Okay? But what I'm saying is that Harold Covington, what he will do is that in many cases, he will have a script. Me, my script lasts about a half hour or so, and in case I don't slavishly follow it, it's, pretty well the monologue. And tonight, there was only about two sentences of the script. Because, folks, I mean, there's really nothing much going on. Carolyn Yeager resumed her Saturday afternoon thing here. I'm going to go ahead and listen to it. She was bitching about Pearson originally. And here she came up with a conspiracy theory. And, folks, I have no idea whether that conspiracy theory is true. I mean, I think it's quite possible. But nobody really knows. I mean, it could go either way. I mean, there are a bunch of, miscegenated, screwed up nuts. There's a bunch of Jew mamzers. Like this Adam Lanza. I said the critter, looked a lot like Brian Real Sword Mamzer. And folks, nowadays in the Zogland, you have a whole bunch of Whigger sheep, a whole bunch essentially of animals waiting to be shot by, you know, semi-automatic weapons with lots of magazines in it here. You have a lot of that. You have a lot of herd animals, and you end up having a bunch of predators. So it doesn't necessarily have to be by a Mossad operation. But on the other hand, well, heck, if you look at 9/11, well, I thought that was a Mossad operation. Sure as the, you know, sure as the, what, the USS Liberty. So when it comes down to it, you end up having somewhat of a body count, a high body count, and you'll have the screaming and the hollering. The Uyghurs need to have their guns taken away from them. And all I see that is just simply an excuse for civil war. But getting back to what TalkShoe is here, what I do is that, you know, folks, usually anybody's welcome to call in. And I don't have a, you know, I don't have a set discussion here. What I have is I have a long acquaintanceship with the bowel movement. I have a pretty good idea of what I want to say about it if I do a Bible study. And so, you know, pretty well, I just will sometimes do a 5-hour show, sometimes a 3-hour show, very seldom a 2-hour show. So I'll do a fairly long show in a lot of cases here. Okay. In any case here, I wanted to go ahead and pretty well explain is that, are you on the show? As long as you're not a known Jew or Mamzer, hey, you got a pretty clear shot to go ahead and talk. In fact, if you are a, you know, Mamzer or a Melungeon like Jeremy Visser, heck, you know, I haven't bothered to censor Visser. Don't bother to censor Obagenda Bender. Don't bother to censor Newskite. Last night, I really had no intention of calling in because essentially you end up having four Jews. You had Newskike, you had the intern, you had Artie, and you had Dembski. And the Jew that was the nicest Jew or the better Jew was Dembski, because at least Dembski admits to being a Jew. You know, of course, he got him a pot-bellied pig here, and I think it's more likely. You know, the pig has a longer lifespan if he's being walked by a Jew than if he's being walked by a Swede here. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, even though I'm not supposed to eat pork here, I mean, shoot, if I had a real nice fat pot-bellied pig and it was in November, I mean, shoot. I'd probably have wicked thoughts regarding, you know, that pot-bellied pig here. You know what I mean? So, any case here. Look, guest number 13. What I say is that I go ahead and talk for as long as I want to. If you want to have a shorter show, you can have a shorter show. But in any case, Carolyn, you know, I don't have a high opinion of Carolyn Yeager because she's a liar and she's a censor. Don't have a high opinion for a number of these characters here. I have to go ahead and laugh at, you know, essentially Don Black spending $2,400, $2,500 a month, wasting that much on essentially a Haitian music channel in Palm Beach. What is the point to that? What is the point to that? And the answer is no point. There's no point to it. Okay? So, pigs, I'm not being mean to pigs here. There's a reason that pigs exist here. I mean, sometimes pigs are delicious. So, anyway, we're talking about four-legged pigs here. Anyway, no, I just on TalkShoe, you know, Trash Can Man was pretty well talking about an all-music show here. And pretty well what I've done is, well, I've pretty well said, well, yes, we can have an all music show. When are we going to do it, Trash Can Man? And the answer is, I don't know. I don't know. But I don't have a problem with, you know, having an all music show. But it wouldn't be a 5-hour show. You know what I mean? I wouldn't mind having a couple hour variety special show. At all. Okay? Well, you know, so the police are tasty? No, no, the pigs are evil. You know what I mean? Pigs are evil. Sometimes, you know, bacon is almost always delicious here. And, you know, I ain't that crazy about ham. Well, I mean, I can eat ham here. And sometimes I like sausage, but usually I always like bacon here. But that's why I don't eat it. I don't eat it more than once or twice a month, though. Okay? Well, listen to music on Talk Show. I mean, what I do. I mean, listen to music. You know, that's why I would, you know, want to go ahead and do the send Trash Can Man an MP3 player. That's why I want to pursue that option. The reason I want to pursue that option is because, well, hey, you know, have him actually get out his guitar and toughen his fingertips here to, you know, play the chords and to sing it along with the guitar. You know what I mean? Go ahead and actually sing some parody songs. I mean, I've gone ahead and used Trash Can Man's lyrics for the ballad of, you know, Brian and Rio. Dee 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 dee. You know what I mean? Okay. Well, folks, this, you know, this chat, Pearson, this chat is saved by no less than 4 programs. One is called Chat Grabber by TalkShoe Support. There's another one called Marketing Solutions, and I forget what it's called. It's called Chat Fetcher. There's another one. There's four different places to go ahead and save this chat, in addition to me saving it. Okay? So Russ will find out. Why would I worry about what Russ finds out here? I mean, Russ has a sense of humor. I've explained to him what a baby Huey is to him, right directly to his face a couple of times here. You know what I mean? But, no, I mean, you know, there, you know, and that's why I go ahead and do a show with Logan. I did a show with Keith until Keith got just so obnoxious and dishonest that it got to where I just couldn't handle Keith anymore. And, you know, I would have really liked to have Keith continue to do his show by himself, even though I disagree with it. Folks, I have never tried to censor anybody, and certainly not Eli James, certainly not Bill Fink, certainly not Brian Reel, certainly not Visser. I mean, I think that Mamsers and Melungeons and Two Boys, I mean, in addition to, you know, I mean, I don't find Fink very dangerous at all. I don't find Visser very dangerous at all. I don't find even Eli James very dangerous at all. If you are willing, going ahead and seeing a picture of Eli James, and if you want to think that he is a Christian identity pastor as opposed to being a Chicago Sephardic Jew, it's because, well, there's something wrong with you. So, why in the world should I go ahead and essentially make Eli James think that he's facing persecution from me? He's not facing any real persecution. He's facing a little bit of trolling. Yesterday, I went ahead and logged in as Pastor M. Linstead that you see there, but I didn't troll using that account. I would go ahead and troll using a number account. So essentially, it was with against Rebecca Mace. Now that Commander McFag has disappeared, essentially Rebecca Mace, she's my whipping mamzer. And essentially, I go ahead and, you know, joke about how essentially old Eli is just the Jew boy who's giving crumbs to the mamzers. And I have my, you know, I have a little bit of fun. And Eli James will accept a little bit of trolling. Not like Jeremy Visser will. Certainly not like Fink will do. But folks, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to go ahead and carry on and whine like a Jew? Oy vey, they're slandering me. They're saying bad things. They're calling me a convicted child molester. Why? And the answer is no. You go ahead and you pay attention to who's also eating that shit up. But, you know, I mean, you allow the tares to have the way and the tares to talk to the other tares. This is not yet the time to harvest, to cut these creatures off, nor to cut off figures who essentially want to eat tear shit. This is not the time or the place to deal with such creatures. The time now is to observe, to go ahead and see what side creatures are on. CMB, oh, that was Commander McFag here. I don't know if he's in there here. So, folks, I don't bother. I got a laugh at Eli James here. He said that I was an ADL plant. He went ahead and took down his lies about 2-3 weeks later because people were saying, well, if he's an ADL plant, how come Eli James and Brian Real were able to take down his web pages here if he's an ADL plant? Now Eli James pretends that ADL took down his pathetic, worthless web page. They didn't. It's just altogether fraud. Eli James is a Chicago Sephardic Jew who was working with another Jew who wasn't a Chicago Sephardic Jew, who was a Jersey City Ashkenazi Jew boy named Fink. And a Sephardic Melungeon named Jeremy Visser. And then that, you know, a New Jersey Ashkenazi Melungeon that carries crones named Dan Johns. And then you have the criminal set here under now Morskelet, who says he's a Zogbot, and under Wickstrom, who's a Zogbot. I mean, I was listening to the whining and the pissing and moaning, and you had this Nimbus retard who was trolling Wickstrom's show Sunday. You know, last Sunday, not this Sunday, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was trolling Wickstrom's show again. And I don't troll Wickstrom's show. I mean, I don't even listen to Wickstrom's show. I don't see anything there here. I mean, you know, he's just going ass to mouth with Boob Jones. And if old Boob thinks that Cherokees are Israelites, well, hey, I have better things to do than argue with known mamzers. I mean, why bother? Why bother? So, in any case, well, I'm looking at some fishing show right now. They have some nice-looking fish here that they've caught. I think it was striped bass here, or something like that here. So, they're, But anyway, I don't bother to censor shows. I don't bother to chase after people who are saying something I may not like. I mean, what is the point to that? What is the point to that? Okay? I don't chase pigs. No, pigs occasionally chase me. Occasionally they've caught me. This is not the time to chase pigs. I mean, Pearson, you're acting like a tard. Okay? Well, Fink does some excellent research here. I mean, I don't have much use for him and, you know, Captain Senility Emmeheiser changing about Bertrand Comparé's early works here, okay? So, in case here, folks, if you want to get an excellent translation of the Old Testament, buy us a Septuagint. It's on the webpage. You can order it from any. If you want a Old Testament translation, get the original one before the Jews messed with it. It's called the Septuagint. I was talking to Logan the other day, and you know, pretty much what happens, the Septuagint was made anywhere from 120 to, I forget when it was, but it was at least 100 years before Christ's birth. And the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were supposedly by these Essenes who lived around the time of Jesus Christ, you know, before AD 70, you know, sometime around Christ's birth, and they found out these old scrolls, and probably scrolls were just simply hidden because here were all these Romans coming in. They hid them in these caves. And pretty well these old scrolls, these Dead Sea Scrolls, follow very closely the Septuagint. Now, I had a chance to buy a Septuagint for $20 or $30 when I was seeing Pete Peters at Branson. In 2000 or whatever, but from what I gather, I can get some Septuagint cheaper at a Christian Bible store. You know what I mean? Septuagint, yeah. So I'm not gonna bother with Eli James's Anderson Bible. So in case here, let's see how long I've been yakking here. I might very well decide to call it a night here, because I think I've been going ahead and giving at least, what, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12. I think I've been going ahead and giving at least 2 hours here. I'm going to go ahead and take a break, and when I come back, I think I'm going to, I think I'm going to go ahead and go along with the last segment of tonight's Movement Third. Okay, folks, we're back for the last section of the Movement Turd, and I want to go ahead and give a quote, short sermon about unity. Now, folks, I've gone ahead and seen critters like Obagender Bender and Visser, and what they are is they're thieving, sneaking Jew boys and liars and criminals and thieves who don't dare show their faces and snouts in case of Obagender Bender. And essentially, just like all, you know, last night I was listening to this Jew named Schwartz, well, I'm blonde and blue-eyed and I'm more Aryan than you instead. And folks, there's pictures of me. Pictures of me that I have shown to people so that people can see what I look like. Now, I may look sort of weird with the long hair and the half a beard, but you can see I have blue eyes. You can see pictures of me from when I was 30, and a picture of me when I was 40, and a picture of me when I was 50. Three major pictures, but I have other pictures, some of them not very flattering, some which are more flattering. And I've been the one who's gone ahead and shown these pictures. In some cases, people may, well, he's fat, he's this, he's that. Well, I'm not obscenely fat. What, at 250 to 260 pounds, I weigh probably 30 pounds to maybe 40 pounds fatter than I should be. I'm not going to be 205 pounds unless I'm on very short rations here. I'm not going to be like I was when I was 23 years old and got out of basic training. I mean, 220 some pounds, 230 pounds, I mean, essentially, that's about as thin as I get normally. And since I'm no longer locked up in the nut house on short rations, and I eat whatever I want, well, yeah, I'll be 250 to 260 pounds. Usually closer to 250 or so, but yeah. And yeah, I'll be 30 pounds, way more than I should, if I was really counting the calories. So, here I am, about 15% fatter than what should be my body weight. Am I grossly obese? No. But I am what I am here. I don't worry about counting the calories. I mean, I eat when I'm hungry. I go to bed when I'm tired. I essentially enjoy myself, you know, without my grandchildren, of course, here as much as I can. And so, you know, but getting, you know, getting back here is that, folks, you can, you know, I'm not a phony. I don't bother to lie to any of you. If you annoy me, I will chew on your ass. But for all practical purposes, I don't believe in abusing anybody here. I don't believe in dragooning anybody. Don't believe in censoring anybody. But I do have a number of things to say about people in the movement and trying to warn people off of that. And then you'll hear why we're all in this together. Well, no, we're not. Essentially, if you are a Jew, pretend to be, you know, Christian identity like Eli James or William Fink or Dan Johns or Jeremy Visser, yeah, I have a problem with you. I have a big problem with you. And I will make quite clear that there's not going to be any unity with you at all. I may go ahead, in case of Eli James, troll the crap out of you, making fun of obvious mamsers like Rebecca Mace and her even darker daughter, pretend to be Christian identity, and say, is that no, 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 Cherokees are not Israelites. Boob Jones, Wickstrom, Visser, Obagender Bender, Fink, Emma Heiser. I mean, folks, they're not. And so the word of Yahweh doesn't apply to them. Now, I've also made it quite clear that let's say you were born let's say that you were born through no fault of your own. One of your ancestors did some teepee creeping, or even is part nigger. And what happens, your genetics are what, 95% white? What do you do? Well, the answer is, I'm not going to ordain you into my church, that's for sure. I'm not going to go ahead and give you the crumbs of salvation, which is only of the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but I do say that if you are able to essentially think things through, there is nothing preventing you from praying to Yahweh, praying to Christ, and understanding that, no, I know I don't deserve anything. And of course, folks, that's the case of all of us here. Even the whitest of whites here. No matter how hard we work, our works are really nothing. Our righteousness is nothing really compared to Yahweh's other than filthy rags. So it's not works alone that's going to get us there. But folks, let's say you end up having and knowing that you have some bit of teepee creeping in your ancestry. I got to go ahead and laugh at old Victor Switzer going ahead and giving one people on my forum a hard time because he said that, you know, yes, I'm part red nigger. And so he said, well, you're number trash. Well, here's Victor Switzer. And the critter knew full well that his grandfather or great-grandfather was a full-blooded Cherokee. And the critter comes up with, well, I'm, you know, Rabbi Samuelson here. Why? Yeah, on the Lone Prairie, there are a bunch of Jew boys running around eating pork on the Lone Prairie. Well, no. He was pretty well spotting for a known manzer named Visser. And going to ask the mouth of old Brian Real here. Well, not in real life, but, you know, virtually. When Brian Real wanted him in real life to go ask the mouth, I mean, essentially Brian Real went ahead and outed him to his boss at the fire department. And then went ahead and found out that he was indeed Red Nigger. So you have all these characters here. I mean, I had to laugh at Victor Switzer giving one of my posters a hard time about being a mamzer and you're doomed, you're doomed, you're doomed. Well, guess what? You knew full well going in what you were, and you couldn't go ahead and give one of your brethren, who's probably whiter than you, a break. So for those, I go ahead and say is that, folks, you know, even Dembski, I'm a Howard Stern Jew, I'm an atheistic Jew. The answer is that, you know, just like it says, I believe in Romans chapter 9, about when they're talking about vessels of wrath and vessels of mercy, is that Yahweh even so says that I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy upon. It's me who decides. It's me, Yahweh, who decides what to do with my creation. And that's what I would advise anybody to do. But as far as unity was concerned, was it not Moses who insisted that when a mixed multitude left Egypt, that he insisted the tribe should marry within tribe? And was he not the one who set up, because he used to be a general in Pharaoh's army, did he not insist that twelve of the tribes of Israel would have three to the north and three to the east and three to the south and three to the west and the Levites in the middle? That makes 13. And essentially, Ephraim and Manasseh, and I think in Benjamin, of Rebekah, Rachel, were on one side, and Judah, and I think Simeon, and whatever, were the rest here. And then the children of the handmaidens were divvied up for the other six. For the other sides? And the answer is, of course. So when the houses of Israel, when Israel went out of Egypt, were they not divided into tribes, and were not the tribal boundaries emphasized as opposed to were all one lot of Israel? And the answer is sure there were. So there were divisions, and there were divisions mandated by Yahweh. We are not all united. Unity, like Roy Martin said, is a curse here, because essentially the one who wants unity is not Yahweh. Yahweh did not drown the obedient Adamites and the whites who essentially moved on into Europe. He only drowned the sinning, miscegenated, unified Adamites. That's who he drowned. He went ahead and drowned the first Zog Babylon. So was unity a blessing? And the answer, of course it wasn't. Because then when you had unity, you had one government for the entire lot here. Yahweh much prefers that you have people who cannot live together to each be ruled by their own rules and by their own customs. And folks, because they're white, they will have a certain minimum standard. But it is not Yahweh who imposes a tyranny. It is not Yahweh who goes ahead and imposes one government over everyone. Was it not Yahweh who went ahead and split up the white people when Nimrod tried to set up the second Zog Babylon after the flood, using the garments of power? And the answer sure was. It's Cain who wanted unity, and thus once he had unity, he went ahead and forced race mixing. It was Nimrod who wanted unity. All of white people, all Adamites, under his whip as a Mamzer, going ahead and thus miscegenating away. When you go ahead and you talk about unity, it's always a Jew or a Mamzer or an evil Whigger who wants to impose unity. The whole purpose of this upcoming Great Tribulation, the Civil War, essentially is to have Whigger kill Whigger until the 10% of ex-Whiggers left here will probably be scattered into 10,000 warlords. Folks, I am not one to bring about unity. In fact, I am advancing through chaos, impending chaos, an anti-unitarian movement, both within Christian identity and among Zog Babylon. It is to where we cannot live together in peace, most Whiggers. Certainly not Whiggers who have become Whiggerized. And certainly not with the Beaners, not with the Niggers, to where we're all under one whip, under Satan's administration. That's what USA stands for, under Satan's administration. Folks, I do my best to go ahead and, bring about the inevitable disunion. There's a reason here why I talk about 10,000 warlords. I don't talk about one. I don't even talk about 100. I don't even talk about a council of 30 or however many. I'm talking about 10,000 warlords, each with no other unity other than the fact that each one will do what is best for his group of white people who follow him. We're talking about reinvigorating a natural aristocracy of Whigger herd animals who are no longer herd animals of Zog Babylon, but rather of a warlord who essentially has it in his interest to make sure that they survive the times ahead, and that they purge out that which does not belong. But in many cases here, in some cases of all the people in this movement here, I talk about racial federalism on occasion, to where essentially, let's understand, we cannot live together. And if need be, let's have 10,000 white homelands and then essentially let the niggers have from Georgia to Mississippi and keep them there. But have them run things without being essentially exploited by the Jews and by the Shabbos Quakers. And I don't believe that these niggers could go ahead and have one unified government any more than Quakers can. I believe they'll have Chief Ungo Bungo, and then down the road, Chief Bungo Ungo. I don't believe that, you know, I mean, shoot, it'll be just like in Africa to where, you know, before they ended up having the white man impose Christianity by stupid Whigger missionaries. Or anything, that there will, of course, indeed be disunion, and there will be essentially things broken up to its natural size here, and it won't be very big. Folks, that's what the lying lawyers and Masons at Philadelphia promises, that there would be independent states here. And essentially, all that would be is that they would all work together to defend themselves against Britain or France or Spain and the Indians. And essentially, they would all work together as one, but pretty well within their states. Each and every one would set up forth his own representation and his own two senators to go to the capital city, be it New York or Philadelphia or the District of Corruption and Congoys. And folks, it was not set up to be a District of Corruption, although that's what it became, and it sure as hell wasn't set up to be a District of Congoys. There is reason that people are talking about secessionists, because they realize and they understand is that we cannot live together. Different people from different states cannot live together. In fact, I don't believe that even within this one state, people can long live together. I believe it's going to break down into county levels or more. And what they will do is that you will end up having a dissolution for a while and for a long while. And that's what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation. Because our current social order, our current way of living, is dying. Just like we as a people are dying underneath it. And therefore, we must seek ourselves free and get to where there is no being able to support Jews. There's no able to be supporting niggers. There's no able to be supporting beaners. To where, essentially, you will not have any customs and immigration service. Essentially, every man will be a John Wesley Harding, and he goes ahead and sees a beaner or a nigger or a gook trampling aboard white land. He goes ahead and just shoots them down and lets Native American coyotes and buzzards and crows and jays and foxes enjoy the foreign bounty, the foreign shitskin bounty, the foreign Jew boy bounty, which has come. And in such a area, you will have people, you will have areas where the Anglo-Mestizos rule themselves as they see fit. But that's pretty well what is going to happen here. And folks, how do we get there from here? Answer, we're going to get there from here. Because here is none too stable. Here has no solution. Zog Babylon, this empire, this mighty evil empire, has no future. Has no good future. And it will split apart. And folks, rather than try to essentially create a prison nation? Pretty well, I advocate that we, since we cannot get along together, that we break asunder. Just like in Daniel chapter, I think it's Daniel chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's dream, where they will try to mix the seed of men, but the very last days, the very last days, the last Sog Babylon will be as iron and clay, and it will not cleave together. And Jesus Christ's kingdom will tear it asunder and fill the entire earth upon the great tribulation. So folks, that's pretty well my sermon for tonight. I'm going to go ahead and call it a night here. 30 minutes? Well, no. Guest number 13, I'm not going to go ahead and do that. I have essentially this show Sundays and Thursdays. I'm not going to do one per night. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and call a night. I'm going to go ahead and say, Hail Victory. May Yahweh bless. Good night.
White men clad in black are we, hi-yi-oh, and we'll stamp out the tyranny, hi-yi-oh. White men go, we vote ho, our Mississippi roof let the red cock grow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corn has long let red blood flow. When Adam dealt and Eve defend, Kyrie-lay-i, all who was then the ruling man, Kyrie-lay-i. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the corner blocks let red blood flow. For white men their rifles shoot, the Jews are laid low. On sogling necks we stomp our boots to stamp out gusto. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the court of laws let red blood flow. The regime must only love its great, hi-yi-oh-ho. The love of God our only need, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow. We'll conquer for our cause is right, hi-yi-oh-ho. Our sons won't have to go and fight, hi-yi-oh-ho. White men go, we vote ho, on the city roof let the red cock crow. White men go, civil war ho, on the courthouse lawns let red blood flow.